specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. This just in, investigators in the wildfire that has killed four firefighters say
this is a deliberately set arson fire.
John Hawkins, Riverside County Fire Chief. Four firefighters are dead, one's in critical condition. The prosecutors could bring murder charges. The fire in a narrow ridged corridor between Palm Springs and Palm Desert, California, has simply outrun human efforts to stop it. KNX's Ron Kilgore.
It's a very somber time here as the firefighters and the police officials try to do the best they can to put a positive face on fighting this fire, but with the loss of colleagues. And looking at this fire as I drive by it, this is just horrific. You see the billows of smoke coming up from several areas you know where there are homes.
Mary Marcel has lived in that area for 60 years.
It was closer than what anybody would want. I smelled the smoke 3 o'clock when I was sleeping. My son called me at 5 to get my husband ready to get out. But there was no electric, and it was hard to pack.
The flames came so fast, all some folks could do was set their animals free and let them fend for themselves.
There's 5 doobies, and they just had 8 puppies, and then we have a bunch of cats, and then my mom's little dog.
In the mountains around Denver and to the west to New Mexico, it is snow. 18 inches of heavy, wet snow fell overnight and through the morning.
If I go shovel the front porch right now, within 10 minutes, it'll have about an inch or so.
That's Shane Gray, works at a gas station. Getting there's the trick. President Bush has signed the Mexican border fence bill.
The bill authorizes the Department of Homeland Security to increase the use of advanced technology like cameras and satellites and unmanned aerial vehicles to reinforce our infrastructure at the border.
The bill, of course, also finances the building of 700 miles of hard-to-climb fence to try to keep the illegal immigrants out. On one hand, the Bush administration handed Iraqi government leaders a 12 to 18-month series of benchmarks for progress. On the other, there is more money and support on the way. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld is playing down the announcement that the U.S. will help Iraq develop benchmarks for progress.
It's a political season, and everyone's trying to make a little mischief out of this.
He portrays the benchmarks as goals, not set deadlines with consequences if they're not met. That won't work, critics claim. Rumsfeld says they ought to just, quote, back off. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The typical Vermont dairy cow produces about 13 gallons a day of manure, which is about the same as the average cow's production of milk. Interesting little tidbit related to Green Mountain College's decision to join the Cow Power program and buy electricity from that generated from manure. The college says it'll be like removing 758 polluting cars from the roads. On Wall Street, today the Dow gained nearly 29 points, NASDAQ up 22.5. This is CBS News.
Every Sunday, it's a whole new season of Celebrity Reality on VH1. Starting at 9, 8 Central, it's Hogan Knows Best. Hulk is moving the family.
Welcome to Miami.
This is not working.
I'm gonna kill somebody before this day is over.
Maybe this wasn't a good idea.
Followed by Breaking Bonaducci.
My wife will leave me. She's not kidding. She's exhausted. 15 years with me. Why wouldn't she leave? I will listen this time. I gotta get home to my family.
All new episodes, Sunday, starting at 9, 8 Central. Only on VH1.
We were looking for a home.
ColdwellBanker.com made it so easy. You just type in the zip code.
Or the location.
We saw some terrific Coldwell Banker homes.
I clicked on more listings.
And saw homes from other realtors, too.
It's a great time to be in the market.
Every day across the country, people find the home of their dreams at the same address. ColdwellBanker.com. Coldwell Banker, your perfect partner. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Rain stretched the World Series between the Tigers and the Cardinals last night by raining it out. Tonight, it's another very wet coin flip.
This is Steve Futterman at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. The weather forecast tonight is a lot more favorable than it was last night. There is a slight chance of rain. It will increase as the evening goes on, but we don't expect any heavy showers. We have had some drizzling off and on throughout the day, but right now, baseball officials are optimistic that Game 4 will be played tonight, the Cardinals and the Tigers.
The series has been a surprise to much of the baseball world, St. Louis leading Detroit 2-1. After technicalities brought down the curtain on Mary Poppins in New York and London for one night, she's back.
It's supercalifragilistic.
Just coincidence that problems with the set plagued the show in both cities. The show's in previews at the New Amsterdam Theater in New York for a mid-November opening. It's been running at the Prince Edward Theater in London since December 2 years ago. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus now, get APR financing as low as 2.9% on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. They're the next best thing to new. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Hey, I care about me, myself, and I. So when it comes to my small business, I take everything personally. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need without the middlemen, the hassles, or the hard sell. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, that's why I went into business for myself in the first place.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind. Yours. Dell. Purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
Uh-oh, it's time to be on the air, and I've got to press this button.
Peter B. Collins!
Right at the moment where we launched the broadcast, my computer said, no! Ah, but I just talked to it like Dick Cheney talks to Senator Leahy, and it just popped right into line. Then I threatened to waterboard it if it doesn't cooperate. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Can you tell it's live and unrehearsed, unscripted? We just kind of sit down and talk for 3 hours. We got some great people to talk to and some fabulous things to talk about. So I hope you'll stay with us as long as you possibly can today. Coming up in about a half an hour, we're going to meet the Green Party challenger to California Senator Dianne Feinstein. She's sleepwalking to re-election, but Todd Kreshen is taking her on the Iraq War and other issues. Coming up next hour, Dave Lindorf. We referred to him yesterday. He wrote an op-ed piece that was published in a Baltimore newspaper chastising House leader or Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi for taking impeachment off the table. We'll talk to Lindorf about that next hour and take lots of your calls. Also on today's show, an update from Peter and Matthew Slutsky. They're on the road, the One Minivan, One Nation tour of the battleground states for the election coming up just 12 days away. And in the free speech zone this afternoon, we're going to meet a couple of political songwriters from Florida, Ellen Buxtell and Nancy Wurzberger, and they've written a song that's just perfect for the November elections, as I mentioned, just 12 days away. So that's all ahead, and you can call the program whenever the urge strikes you. We pay for the call. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You can also email me, and that's easy, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Every Thursday, we kick off the show with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. They publish it at the Center for American Progress, one of the progressive think tanks in Washington, D.C., one of or the only. Faz, is there another one?
There's a lot of other progressive, but we're, I guess, the largest umbrella organization. You know, Media Matters is out here. Some consider Crew and those sorts of organizations progressive, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But those aren't really think tanks.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, we are the only think tank.
And the Progress Report is available to you free. Just log on to progressreport.org, and you can get a copy for yourself delivered into your email. And, Faz, one of the items I wanted to start with today is that there have been a bunch of conservative radio talk show hosts operating out of the White House the last 10 days or so. And one of them yesterday, or I guess it was Tuesday, got Dick Cheney to make some remarkable comments. First of all, he said that he's tired of being called the vice president of torture. And he basically said, waterboarding? That's okay with me. Scott Hennen of WDAY in Fargo told Cheney that his listeners had asked him to let the vice president know that if it takes dunking a terrorist in water, we're all for it if it saves American lives. And Mr. Hennen, leading the vice president on, said, again, this debate seems a little silly given the threat we face. Would you agree? And Cheney replied in his grizzled tones, I do agree. And I think the terrorist threat, for example, with respect to our ability to interrogate high-value detainees like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, that's been a very important tool that we've had to be able to secure the nation. And he went on to say, in response to the question, would you agree that a dunk in water is a no-brainer if it can save lives? Cheney, it's a no-brainer for me, but for a while there I was criticized as being the vice president for torture. We don't torture. That's not what we're involved in. We live up to our obligations in international treaties that we're party to and so forth. But the fact is, you can have a fairly robust interrogation program without torture, and we need to be able to do that.
You know, we were looking at this radio day that they had, and we were just loving it because it was all on taxpayers' dime, but all they did was invite conservative radio hosts. And so we knew that coming out of that day, we were definitely going to get some good content because you have people like Scott Hennen and other radio hosts who are right-wing and who are pressing the administration to be right-wing. And so you get Dick Cheney on with Scott Hennen, and, of course, they admit waterboarding because they see eye-to-eye on it. And what's interesting about that is, of course, that, first of all, everyone universally condemns that as torture, and the administration has said that they don't torture. And also that they had said that they weren't conducting these sorts of tactics. They weren't using anything that could be considered torture. And then we had this recent detainee bill go through that explicitly said, according to Senator Lindsey Graham, that there would be no waterboarding. And mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see whether the vice president still believes that he can do waterboarding or that it's a no-brainer for him.
Now this seems to be a very clear admission that they have intentionally violated the law, they think it's okay, and they plan to continue doing so.
Yeah, and they've always considered themselves to be operating outside the law. I mean, that's the issue. I'm sure that they would agree with you that there is a law that pertains to waterboarding. It's just that they believe they're operating outside of it, and that's why they've been sending people to black sites. That's why they've been pulling in U.S. allies that don't have the greatest human rights record so that they can do this sort of stuff to them. That's why we had this big fight over what the CIA could do, because for the most part they agreed that the military wouldn't be allowed to do these sorts of tactics, so they let the Detainee Treatment Act go through. But then when it came to the CIA, they had big problems because that's where they want to be conducting these shady sorts of tactics in black sites around the world, and hopefully that's all been put to an end. But you know, who knows what Dick Cheney is up to now?
Yeah, well, it just seems that their arrogance and their brazenness really have reached new levels.
You know, Dick Cheney said on one of the shows, it was really hilarious that he said, you know, I know people consider me to be Darth Vader. I don't know if you saw that comment.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. He said, you know, people think I'm Darth Vader. I'm the dark side of the administration. And, of course, all of what he's exposing here is, in fact, the dark side, right? It's the Dick Cheney that we know and hate. And so, yeah, you're right that there is this brazenness and arrogance that's coming from them now.
Well, and for him to deny that he, you know, is the vice president for torture in the same breath that he embraces an explicitly banned form of interrogation and harassment. I mean, if you want to parse words and say the waterboarding isn't torture unless you kill them, you know, actually drown them.
I can't get inside Dick Cheney's head, but the interesting thing about that is, of course, that John McCain and John Warner and Lindsey Graham, who just pushed through this bill that we all hate because it didn't have habeas corpus and other protections, mm-hmm. but it did explicitly say that we would hew to the Geneva Conventions, and it said that waterboarding is torture.
Yeah.
So there you go. If that's what they want to stand by, if that's what all the conservatives say is a great bill, then Dick Cheney just conducted an unlawful act.
Wow. All right, let's talk about the president's pivot. No timeline, but benchmarks. And the generals in Iraq and Zalmay Khalilzad have essentially set a timeline, but we don't call it that. And the president was doing a kind of truthiness thing. We credit Stephen Colbert for that word. But it was kind of truthiness on parade yesterday as he acknowledged the problems in Iraq. In one of the few occasions he enumerated the carnage, he knew exactly how many Americans have died this month, how many Iraqis have died. He seemed, on the one hand, more in touch than we have believed, and at the same time, in a deep state of denial.
I had a couple observations about this. One is they clearly wanted to put out President Bush, and he had a long extended opening remarks to that press conference yesterday. And if you split up the press conference between the opening remarks and then the question and answer period, you'll see that they came out with an effort to try to make it look like President Bush was going to offer a, quote, sober assessment of what was going on. And so that was all in his opening remarks. But once the questioners got an opportunity to go at President Bush, we saw the President Bush that we know and hate once again. He reverted back to defending Dick Cheney, defending his strategy, blasting critics, saying that he was right, they were wrong. And so I think it really muted all of the efforts that he had tried to undertake early on about being sober and being more realistic and being open-minded. It cut into that.
Carl Levin, the senator from Michigan, correctly assessed the president's performance. I don't see any reason to believe the president is any more realistic. What he said was an effort to get himself past the election by telling the American people that he's changing course while telling the Iraqis he's not changing course.
Well, there was a big game being played yesterday. He used the word, quote, benchmarks 13 times. He talked about timelines a lot. And what they were doing is trying to put into the American people's heads that they're now for a timeline. And if you look into this timeline a little more deeply, as we've done here, you'll see that, first of all, there's no timeline for the reduction of U.S. troops. That's important to note. There is no timeline for the reduction of American troops. In fact, they could go up. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that there is no enforcement mechanism for their, quote, timeline. So they want to impose conditions under which Maliki would form his government in Iraq, and they want it to work according to some sort of timetable. But they won't have any enforcement mechanism. So if Maliki doesn't do it, it doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to withdraw troops, we're going to do anything else. This whole thing is a game of charades. They don't actually have a timeline, but they want the American people to think that they are now adjusting their strategy.
And they're actually creating a whole lot of confusion, I think, instead of really offering clear messages, which would be their priority just 12 days before a critical election. And the president tried to take the heat, saying that, you know, the buck stops here. I'm the one responsible, so vote against me. And how stupid, how really
taking
stupid.
Taking the bullet when he can't take one, right?
Yeah, how stupid does he think we are?
Exactly. We are blaming you, and we're going to blame your subsidiaries and your allies as well, that being the Republican Congress. But
right.
Yeah, on the stay the course thing, you're right that they are sending conflicting signals. They've said all this week, of course, that for months now, in years, actually, they've said, we've stayed the course, we're staying the course. Then Tony mm-hmm. Snow goes out and says, no, we've only said it 8 times.
And Keith Olbermann nailed it. We've got the clip. We're going to play it later today, over 28 times.
Yeah, that was actually from our research here, Peter. Actually, we put it together that same day, and we counted 30, and we sent it over, and Peter Keith Olbermann was willing enough to use it, and that was great. And so we got a little more attention to it. So, yeah, it showed that Tony Snow, I mean, they really don't know what they're doing. And then you have Dick Cheney coming out and saying, mm-hmm. you know, Sean Hannity asked him directly, are we staying the course, or are we backing down from it? And it was Donald Rumsfeld, I'm sorry. Donald Rumsfeld mm-hmm. says, no, we're not backing down from stay the course. So on the one hand, you have the administration saying we're no longer using that phrase, and then Donald Rumsfeld goes out and says we are staying the course.
Glad to know the source of the detailed research there, Center for American Progress.
It's on thinkprogress.org if you want to go look it up.
Great. Fan Shakir with us. We'll continue in just a moment. First, the surf's up. You never want to go waterboarding with Dick Cheney, and don't go duck hunting with him either, okay? We'll take a break and return with Faz. You got a question or comment, bring it on now and bring it on fast at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Ronnie Bramer, owner of New Horizon Real Estate Group in St. Petersburg, Florida, returns to talk about some great investment opportunities in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. Call him at 727-827-0154 for more info. And don't forget, this is the last weekend for our Rock and Relax giveaway, where someone will be going to see the Rolling Stones at the Oakland Coliseum November 5th and a weekend for two at the Seascape Resort on Monterey Bay. That's this Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Peter B. Collins Show. Next, we're going to talk about activist judges and gay marriage. Listen to this.
Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my love. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind your religion. It's my right to marry whom I choose. It's not your place to call me a sinner or decide who to have. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church and state. Your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose.
That's Ellen Buxtell from Florida. She's going to talk with us a little bit later this afternoon. There's another tune that she has written about stolen elections that we'll play for you a little bit later on. That one's called Hey, Mr. Politician, and perfect timing for yesterday's New Jersey Supreme Court ruling. We continue our chat with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. And, Faz, the right is characterizing this as more bad decisions and legislation from activist judges on the bench. And the far left in the gay community is angry, kind of spitting mad, saying that they'll accept nothing short of full equality and full marriage rights. But I see this decision as an interesting gambit by the court to avoid being called an activist court. They instructed the New Jersey legislature to fix the legal situation there and to not create a separate but equal environment. Is that a fair description?
I'm totally with you, Peter. I actually think I really praise this decision. I think it struck the right balance here just a couple weeks before the election, and I know that they were certainly thinking about that. But they've crafted the decision in such a way as to, A, show respect for the democratic process, and, B, elucidate what are the legal rights at play here. And so what concerns the gay rights community and the rest of us in writ large, we're all concerned that heterosexual and homosexual couples be placed on the same ground, equal ground. And that's what the decision at least made a step towards yesterday, and I think that was very important to do. And then they left the determination of what to call a relationship, whether it's marriage or something else, civil union. They left that to the democratic process, and I for one believe that that's where it needs to be. It's for years, liberals have leaned on the courts to provide the rights to them, and that has produced, I think, this enormous right-wing backlash, and it's that I think we need to stop, and the way to do that is to start using the democratic process through ballot initiatives and what have you to push these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they must be on the right track, because Bill Donahue, who I refer to as a papo fascist, he's the president of the Catholic League and just a real nasty kind of guy, in my opinion. He called the ruling a plus on the premise it would stir up resentment of arrogant judges and boost conservative election prospects.
Well, I mean, he was going to say that no matter what, barring he didn't win, he was going to say something like that. And that's what I think is kind of repulsive from a lot of the right-wingers, is that they didn't even take a second to read the decision. They just immediately started to use it for political gain, and they were trying to mobilize their depressed base, try to forget about Foley, try to forget about the ethics lapses, try to forget about Iraq, and try to get them motivated about this one court ruling. But of course, if we look more deeply at what the ruling said, it doesn't pertain to the nation. It does establish a right for the democratic process to move forward. So Bill Donahue's crew and everybody else has a right to compete in the open market of democracy and try to fight for not calling it gay marriage if that's what they so choose to do. So I think that this decision, I really praise it. I think it's part of the gradual movement towards establishing equal rights for the gay community.
Yeah, and I think it's going to take another 10 or 15 years, but I do believe that when we look back in, say, 2026, we're going to say, boy, that was a lot of struggle over nothing.
That's right. I think you've hit the nail on the head, Peter. I think this decision is really, I think, a model for what other states should be doing, because the other interesting thing to point out here is that the decision itself tracks very closely with what President Bush himself has said that he would like to see, which is that states make the determination about what legal rights they want to give to the gay community. So here we have New Jersey coming out and establishing that these are the rights that they want to give to New Jerseyans. And that, I think, is something that conservatives and liberals can get behind. And for people like Judge Scalia, who are concerned about an activist judiciary, here the judiciary has deferred and said, no, we defer and allow the New Jersey legislature to move forward and define what this relationship should be.
It's going to be very interesting. Faz, thanks for your analysis today.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. That's Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress, progressreport.org. Todd Creation joins us next, California's Green Party candidate for the United States Senate, opposing Dianne Feinstein. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG. For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are 2 types of diabetes that affect our children, type 1 and type 2. I'm Nurse Rona. Join us to find out what parents and teachers can do to help children and families face the challenges of diabetes. Healthy eating, exercise, and knowing the signs and symptoms can make a big difference.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. Now, it's time for more now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here we go. Starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
It's
33 minutes past the hour. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins, on the show they named after me. And I will just reveal to you my voting record as it pertains to the senior senator from California. I voted for Dianne Feinstein once in 1994 when she first ran for the office and when both Senate seats in California were up for grabs. And I have not been able to repeat that task. In 2000, I worked on behalf of Tom Campbell, a Republican who challenged her for the United States Senate. And this year, I'm looking for a place to park my vote. And I can't vote for the Republican, and I can't vote for Senator Feinstein. She has disappointed me far too often in her dino votes, that's Democrat in name only, as she has way too often straddled issues and voted with Republicans. And I feel that she is staunchly planted in the Lieberman wing of the Democratic Party. So let's talk to the Green Party challenger for this year's Senate race. He's Todd Creshen. Todd, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks very much, Peter. It's good to be here.
It's nice to talk with you. And I was looking at your website, which is toddforsenate.org. And reading your bio, I see that you worked on behalf of Medea Benjamin back in the Senate campaign of 2000.
That's right. She was the first Green Senate candidate to run against Feinstein back then, and got, I think, about 400,000 votes along with the Ralph Nader campaign in the year 2000.
Yeah. And one of the things that occurred in that campaign that I remember vividly is Feinstein, typical of a front-running incumbent, tried to avoid debates. And when we finally got her to agree to a debate with Campbell, the Republican nominee, she went to great lengths to exclude Medea Benjamin. And to his credit, Tom Campbell fought on behalf of Medea Benjamin, both publicly and privately, to get her included in those debates. I guess there were two of them, one in Southern California and one in San Francisco. And while he was not successful, he did appear at some news conferences with Medea Benjamin, and it was a kind of interesting and unusual type of collusion against a sitting senator. Now, this year, has Senator Feinstein agreed to any debates whatsoever?
No, and Senator Feinstein has just barely agreed to recognize the fact that she's up for election.
You're right.
She's sitting on top of a $15 million campaign fund, which nobody can figure out what she's doing with. I don't think any of your listeners have heard or seen a Dianne Feinstein TV commercial, although she claims to be spending millions of dollars on her campaign. So we have a situation in which she's pretending that there's no election, but rather just a coronation. Actually, yesterday in Los Angeles, she was speaking to a group of businessmen, and a friend of mine who's a teacher in Los Angeles, her students were invited to the event, and while Feinstein cut off the microphone before they could ask her questions, as soon as the event ended, they went up to her and they said, "Why did you vote for the war? Why was your Green Party candidate?" And she got flustered. She defended her vote on the war, said that she didn't have to debate the other candidates because she could simply stand on her public record, and then stormed off. So I think that Senator Feinstein is playing possum for this election, which is a real loss for the people of California.
Well, and I'll tell you a little story about Dianne Feinstein and debates. In 1994, as I mentioned in the intro, both Senate seats were up for grabs. And somehow I wound up in charge of a consortium. It was the San Francisco Examiner, Channel 5 in San Francisco, and the radio station where I worked at the time, KNBR. And we formed a little group to put on debates of all of the Senate candidates of the major parties. And because there were so many people running and both seats were open, it was a crowded field. And so within our rights, we set some exclusionary rules. That's the best way to put it. And the stated benchmark was that in order to be invited to the debate, you had to show up with 5% support statewide in a poll prior to, I think, April 30th. Well, there was a little-known candidate opposing Feinstein in the Democratic primary, Joe Alioto of San Francisco, the former mayor's son. And he didn't meet the criteria. He was only polling at like 2.5%, and nobody right. knew why he was running anyway. And so Feinstein went to great lengths. She was calling me four times a day. She called the station manager at Channel 5. She called the publisher of The Examiner. And she was trying to bend the rules to include Joe Alioto in this debate. And we couldn't figure out why. Well, what advantage would there be to her to have somebody else on the set? And we found out later that the reason was that she didn't want to be on a TV set alone with Gray Davis.
That's funny. You know, it's interesting you bring up that 5% threshold, because the Public Policy Institute of California, which is a widely known, reputable polling institution, actually did a poll on the Senate race in July, and they put me at 5%. They put the Republican challenger at only 21%, Dick Mountjoy, and Feinstein at about 42%, with about 20% undecided. Now, unfortunately, the Public Policy Institute hasn't followed up by doing more polling. The field poll refuses to put me in any of the polls. So we don't know for sure what the vote's going to be. But actually, today, as we speak, the Secretary of State of California is organizing a statewide student high school election. And you can go to the Secretary of State's website and look at the results there for young people all across the state voting. There's a 250,000 high school students voting. And it's interesting, that poll, Senator Feinstein is certainly in the lead, but she's got less than 40%. And myself and the Peace and Freedom Party candidate combined have 30% of the vote.
Really?
Or 28% of the vote. Now, of course, that's not a scientific poll, but it certainly shows that young people are not exactly enamored of the senator. And the exclusionary method of conducting these debates really, I think, does a disservice to the people of California.
Now, do you think they're using
Dick Mountjoy, that they're not even going to, she's not even agreeing to debate the Republican this time.
Right.
So it's even worse than normal.
Yeah. Now, in that student election, are they using junior Diebold machines to count the votes?
I think they're using a little bit lower scale technology than Diebold. But you know, these debates are, I think they're just one symptom of really the crisis in democracy. It's not just the lack of coverage in some of the mainstream media, but it's the money, and the money which just pours into these campaigns. You can't run, never mind California, but you can't run even in a small state or for a congressional seat unless you can raise millions of dollars. And I don't know about many of your listeners, but I'm not the kind of person that can just write out a $4,000 or $5,000 check to get access to some politician.
Yeah.
So it's, the money is really, I think what it does is it not only distorts the people who get access to the politicians, but what it really does is it insulates the type of people who are able to run for office. And it means that ordinary working people, people who are from the social movement, are unable to run in the system, and it really self-selects. It used to be for people who could raise the money. More and more, it's for the people themselves who can just write the big checks for their own campaign.
You're right.
So I think that's a escalating crisis in our country.
It is. And we also have the incredible power of incumbency, and it is greatest in the Senate, where essentially these people get elected, and if they're not caught in some criminal act red-handed, they're pretty much there for as long as they like.
Yeah, they're there for a long time. I mean, but the what we're going to see this year is, I actually think the Democrats are really well poised to actually take back the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that the war in Iraq, the beginning of the burst of the housing bubble, the destruction of social services, you name it, on and on, I think have finally undermined the Republican Party, so that the Democrats may limp back in and take control of the House and the Senate. Now, unfortunately, in my opinion, that's not going to change a whole lot. We may see a few hearings and this and that, and we'll see a few standing off of the rough edges of the Bush policies. But if you take Senator Feinstein and you look at the flagship policies of the Bush administration, the invasion of Iraq, the No Child Left Behind Act, the attack on immigrant workers, and of course the Patriot Act, Senator Feinstein has been an outspoken supporter of all of those.
Well, on the NSA spying program, she's working hand in glove with Arlen Specter to legalize the law breaking of the Bush administration and the wholesale invasion of our privacy.
Yeah, I mean, Bush just got away with eliminating habeas corpus, taking us back, you know, not a century or two centuries, but we're back to the year 1214 now. You don't have the right to demand a face-to-face confrontation with your accuser. I mean, this is very scary stuff.
Well, we renamed the Military Commissions Act on our program here, Todd, as the Joseph Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006.
Well, and now
have you
an appropriate name.
Have you heard that Dick Cheney, in one of these softball interviews with a right-wing talk show host who's been invited to the White House to get impressed this week, just in time for the election, that Cheney admitted yesterday that he supports waterboarding, that they have used it, and he claims, curiously, that it's not torture, even though Lindsey Graham and John McCain and John Warner flatly say that they negotiated a deal and that in the Stalin Act, the Military Commissions Act, there is a clear exclusion for waterboarding.
Well, it's totally shameful, and unfortunately, we don't have, in my opinion, an opposition party in this country which is willing to stand up against this stuff, because the waterboarding is horrifying. That is a horrifying thing that our government is now legalizing that type of torture.
Well, they make it out like it's a dunk tank, like it's a fun thing at the county fair, you know, and you get to throw a baseball and put somebody in a dunk tank and then they come out. But it's you know, intended to make somebody feel like they're drowning. And if you've ever been in a swimming pool or a lake or a river and underwater and lost your breath, you know how totally frightening that is.
And I think the fact that that the government is now officially making things like this policy only goes to prove that this is, unfortunately, the tip of the iceberg. There's a new Johns Hopkins study out of the medical university which says that since the occupation of Iraq began in March of 2003, that there have been 665,000 deaths in Iraq, maybe as many as 950,000. And that goes on top of the 2,800 American soldiers who've died and the 20,000 who've been injured for life. And unfortunately, rather than seeing an outcry like the people of this country have been making, the Democrats in Congress have signed every single one of the Pentagon budgets that George Bush has asked for. In the Senate, the vote is 100-0 every time. There's no opposition to this war. And you're hearing Dianne Feinstein and some of the other Democrats say now, well, maybe by the end of 2007 we'll pull the troops out. I want to say to your listeners something very clear. The idea that the United States government is going to gradually withdraw some of the troops from Iraq is a fantasy. It cannot happen. The only way to get our troops out of Iraq is to do it all at once, immediately, and to allow the people of Iraq to have their own country back. If the United States begins to withdraw some troops slowly, all that will mean is that the Iraqi resistance takes over cities piece by piece, and then the United States will do what they did in Vietnam, which is resort to massive aerial bombardment of civilian areas.
We're talking... I'm sorry, so, Todd.
You got to take a commercial break.
I got to take a break, and then we'll continue. We'll take some calls, too. Todd Cretien is our guest, Cretien. He is the Green Party candidate for the United States Senate seat currently held by Dianne Feinstein. And I don't tell people how to vote, but I'll tell you how I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote for the Green Party candidate for the United States Senate this year because I cannot encourage Dianne Feinstein in any way, shape, or form. Your calls and comments are welcome. If you want to quiz Todd, call him right now. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. 1-888-5-PETER-B. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'll tell you what I got cooking, Dinners Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinners Ready?
That's right, Dinners Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at ThinkerToys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from ThinkerToys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Todd Preetian. He's the Green Party candidate for the United States Senate seat currently held by Dianne Feinstein here in California. And, Todd, I need to confess that I've been mispronouncing your name. I gave it the French inflection because, you know, I relate to John Kerry in that Francophile factor.
Well, my grandparents were from Quebec, Canada, back in the day in the 30s. So if you go to Quebec, everybody says Chrétien.
See.
But here it gets, you know, like all immigrants, your name gets changed, so it's pronounced Cretien here.
And it's spelled C-H-R-E-T-I-E-N. During the break, my fabulous producer, Matt Renner, checked there at the Secretary of State's student voting site. You're currently at 11.8%, Feinstein 39%, the Republican Mountjoy at 21.5%.
Yep.
So that's interesting. Now we go to Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hello to Todd Creation.
Hey, Peter. And Todd, I've already voted for you, and most everybody I know here, all of my friends, have voted for you. You may be surprised to learn you probably carried Humboldt County, but, you know, I think if we had runoff voting, you would be the next United States Senator from California here.
Well, that's I like that type of optimism. I appreciate you and everybody up that way voting for me. And I'll just say one thing. I absolutely thank you for voting for me, and I'm sure you're already doing this and your friends are already doing this. But it's kind of funny to say, but as a candidate, I actually think that elections aren't the most important thing in the world, and we've got to figure out a way to get our anti-war movement back out on the streets, because I think that whoever wins the midterm elections, government policy is not going to change unless we can put thousands, hundreds of thousands of people back in our streets to give the people of Iraq their country back and to support our men and women in the armed forces who are beginning to refuse to fight.
Todd, this came up on the program. A lot of progressives are disappointed that, for example, the World Can't Wait demonstrations of October 5th, it was just defined as a national mobilization, and most people chose not to mobilize.
Yeah, I think there's an Achilles heel to our anti-war movement, which is, I think, all too many people, at least in the back of their mind, are sort of hoping that if George Bush and the Republicans go away, that the Democrats will come in and make fundamental change. And I think that dampens people's enthusiasm for seeing that they really need to make the movement themselves. So I think that breaking that link between that, in my opinion, illusion that the Democrats are going to change this war or end this war, means that you have no refuge. If you want to end this war, then you have to go out and protest. You have to organize on your campus, in your union, your workplace, your neighborhood. You got to talk to your neighbors, and we got to mobilize. And I think a lot of people are still holding on to a hope that maybe one of the Democrats is going to do the trick for them. And I think it's a hope that we got to let go of, and we got to base our strategy on realism, on history, and a knowledge that only an anti-war movement is going to end this war.
Very good, Dave. A follow-up.
Yeah, the biggest fear of many of us, Todd, is election fraud. I don't know if you have a thought on that, but I'd be making that known everywhere. The Republicans are in power because they rig elections. That's our honest opinion.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they rig elections. I think they steal votes, but I think they do it in more ways than one. I think their biggest rigging of elections actually takes place well before voting day. And as I said before, it takes place with this showering of hundreds of millions of dollars into both parties' coffers. And I agree with you that there is a lot of shenanigans that go on, especially, I mean, we saw in 2000 the Florida fiasco in Ohio last year, that there is a corruption and a really criminality which is maybe it was never absent from the two mainstream parties, but it certainly seems to be growing within the heart of them.
Dave, thank you for your call today. Now to Hal in Coos Bay, Oregon. Hello, Hal. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter and Todd. Yeah, I'm calling from up here in Coos Bay again. I need to maybe get more information about a Green Party up here because I'm thinking of the same thing. I totally am disenchanted with both parties and totally understand where you're coming from. And also, I'm very interested in grassroots sustainable, energies and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
I know that the Green Party is, we got to do something. We got to break this.
Todd, are you in contact with any green activists along the Oregon coast near Coos Bay?
Yeah, if you go to my website, which is toddforsenate.org, and send my campaign an email, I can put you in touch with Green Party folks up there. And also, just one state north of you, Aaron Dixon is the Green Party Senate candidate running against Maria Cantwell up in Washington State, and he actually just 2 days ago was arrested because he tried to go and attend the debate of the Senate candidates there, and she had him thrown out and arrested. So Aaron is running an excellent campaign up there as well.
Yeah, and you know, we hear more and more about the quiet suppressing of any word. I hear what you're saying, Peter, about, you know, maybe a disappointment in the groundswell of protesting, but, God, it almost seems just almost hopeless. I mean, every day there's more information that just shows how...
Yeah, I mean, it's true. The American public is totally disaffected with this administration and, in particular, with the war. But getting people to express that and to see politics as an appropriate route for that expression seems very difficult. And I think part of it is that people are just tuned out and discouraged. They don't think that they can make a difference. And some of that relates to all the money in politics. So, Todd, tell me your thoughts on Prop 89, the so-called clean money initiative here in California. I think it's a major step forward, but it advantages the two major parties.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's, you know, the campaign finance reform is a good step forward. Unfortunately, like all campaign finance reform laws, basically the two mainstream parties find a way to get around it, and the money continues to pour in one way or the other into the campaigns. I mean, I think that, it's sort of a funny thing to say as a candidate, but I think that the success of electoral third parties is really going to be tied to rebuilding our labor movement, not just as a set of labor institutions, but as a movement. We've got 8.5% of people in the private sector are in unions now. I mean, you can't even talk about really seriously running a Green or a Labor Party when you got 8.5% of people in private sector and unions. We
right.
need to rebuild our unions from the ground up. My candidacy is basically an anti-war campaign.
You're the successor to Cindy Sheehan, really.
Well, Cindy was thinking of running against Feinstein in the Democratic primary, and unfortunately, Barbara Boxer helped chase her out because even the quote-unquote liberal wing of the Democratic Party doesn't want to see its own right wing challenged, and unfortunately, the liberal wing of the Democratic Party puts discipline and loyalty to the center and the right wing of the Democratic Party ahead of the interests of the anti-war movement. So, you know, Cindy has done a lot of great stuff, and, you know, we should have a movement in this country, and we should have political parties in this country that would, you know, if you want to be a party that's against the war, my God, if you don't want Cindy Sheehan at the head of your ticket, what's wrong with you?
Well, I would certainly like to see the Democrats take back control of both houses, if only to ease out Republican one-party rule. But that said, to me, the ideal, Todd, would be for the Green Party to really work hard to grab somewhere between 5 and 10 seats in the House. And that could be the buffer that prevents the Democrats from going too corporate or from repeating the excesses of Republicans under one-party rule the last 12 years.
Yeah, that would be a great situation to be in with the winner take all elections. It's extremely difficult to win a congressional seat. We've got a great candidate in San Francisco running against Nancy Pelosi. And if there's any congressional seat in the country that should be a green seat, it's the San Francisco seat where Matt Gonzalez, the Green Party mayor, came within a hair's breadth of being the mayor and only lost because the Republicans backed Newsom.
Right. Todd, I'm out of time, but I want to direct people to your website, Todd, the number four, toddforsenate.org. Todd Creshan, Green Party candidate for the Dianne Feinstein Senate seat here in California. Thanks for joining us, Todd.
Thanks, Peter.
My pleasure.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Raging California wildfire kills four.
This is an arson fire. This is a deliberately set arson fire.
Rumsfeld rejects talk of timelines and deadlines.
They're looking for some sort of a guillotine to come flowing down if some date isn't met. That is not what this is about.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Fanned by strong wind, a wildfire burning near Palm Springs has claimed the lives of four firefighters. John Hawkins of the California Forestry Department says they'd left their truck to help keep the flames from a home in the hills.
In the course of trying to save the house, the fire rapidly overwhelmed them. And fatalities occurred. Three fatalities at the site and a fourth fatality at the Arrowhead Regional Burn Center.
The cause, says Hawkins, is arson. They're offering a $100,000 reward.
A deliberately set arson fire that leads to the death of anyone constitutes murder.
Several hundred residents of a trailer park are stranded by the fire. Ed Freeze of Poppet Flats was just able to get out in time.
It was unbelievable. I've never seen fire move that fast. And I mean, it was going as fast as we were driving.
Now this.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Walgreens has big news. They've teamed up with AARP with great new programs and offers for everyone 50 and over. To celebrate, AARP members who buy $10 worth of Walgreens brand items get a $10 gift card free. Not a member, but you love all that AARP has to offer? Walgreens has something for you, too. A free one-year membership, including their magazine, great benefits and programs. Offers end soon, but the benefits are just beginning. See Walgreens for details. Restrictions may apply.
A combative Defense Secretary Rumsfeld says it's a political season and everyone's trying to make a little mischief out of perceived differences between the Bush administration and the Iraqi government. At a Pentagon briefing today, he bristled when reporters pressed him about the benchmarks for progress and whether deadlines are involved.
You ought to just back off, take a look at it, relax, understand that it's complicated, it's difficult.
And Rumsfeld rejected the notion that Iraq is failing to keep its end of the bargain.
That is false. Every time a security benchmark has been laid down, the Iraqis have failed to meet it. Wrong.
U.S. military officials have said they're disappointed in the effort to secure Baghdad, but CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick traveled to one area where security sweeps were successful.
Last summer, Colonel Mike Beach says Shiite militias were preying on the Dora area, targeting Sunnis. Bodies turned up constantly.
In the month of July, it was over 120.
U.S. forces cleared the area in August. Now the body count has fallen, but it takes a U.S. presence to keep it that way.
One U.S. company is responsible for each of these four neighborhoods. And with that, they are paired with a national police company.
Sunnis here don't trust these national police, believing they're loyal to Shiite militias. And they fear the violence will return when U.S. troops hand over security permanently. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Baghdad.
Home building might start to pick up again. The Commerce Department says new home sales were up in September for the second month in a row. Dave Siders, chief economist at the National Association of Home Builders, credits lower prices.
Builders trying to support sales and limit sales cancellations have been, trimming prices a fair amount and also, offering all kinds of other kinds of sales incentives.
Overall, home prices are down 10% from a year ago, and Siders predicts further modest declines well into next year. Big ceremony at the White House today. President Bush signed a measure to put 700 miles of fence along the Mexican border.
This bill will help protect the American people. This bill will make our borders more secure. It is an important step toward immigration reform.
This is Adrian Bard in Mexico City. The chief spokesman for Mexico's president said Mexico is deeply worried about the U.S. decision to build the border wall. The two countries had been working together on a broader plan that dealt with the plight of the Mexican migrants who work in the U.S. with no permits. Calling it the dividing wall, the spokesman said it is contrary to the spirit of neighbors who want to solve their common problems.
Senator Edward Kennedy says the bill is a bumper sticker solution that's no substitute for comprehensive immigration reform. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I'll admit it. I'm as selfish as they come. Because when it comes to my small business, no one else is looking out for me. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need to help me make my customers happy. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, business is a game of survival of the fittest, and I plan on winning.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind. Yours, Dell. Purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco. Coming up later this hour, the Slutsky brothers check in from battleground states Minnesota and Iowa. But first, Dave Lindorf asks, why did Nancy Pelosi take impeachment off the table?
President so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad. Now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
I'm going to take a moment here to acknowledge members of the unofficial Peter B. Collins Worldwide Network. In the last few days, I've heard from listeners in Kona, on the Big Island of Hawaii, in Costa Rica, in Maine. And I want to give a shout-out and a tip of the hat to Jean Ishenko. She is a longtime listener of the Peter B. Collins Show, and she listens online, situated in Ontario, the province in Canada. And she sends me 6 or 8 emails a day from websites that she has scoured. And it is because of Jean that I know about this powerful op-ed that Dave Lindorf published in the Baltimore Chronicle yesterday. Dave, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thanks for writing this piece. We talked about it yesterday. I got a whole flurry of phone calls, and so I wanted to go to the source and give you the opportunity to articulate your viewpoint here. And my phone lines are open if you want to talk about this issue of why the Democratic leader has said that she will not pursue impeachment. I'd like to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. Dave Lindorf is co-author with Barbara Olshansky from the Center for Constitutional Rights of the hardbound book called The Case for Impeachment, and that was preceded by a thinner, shorter paperback that was published earlier this year. There's also a compendium called Impeach the President, which was released about a month ago, and it's edited by Peter Phillips of Project Censored and Dennis Liu, and that is out in softcover right now. Dave, what do you see as the central issue here in Nancy Pelosi telling Leslie Stahl on a poorly viewed episode of 60 Minutes, because it was on opposite the World Series and I didn't see it, why did she tell Leslie Stahl that she has taken impeachment off the table?
Well, it's two issues, I think. One is that I think it's an example of the press bullying Democratic politicians into positions that satisfy the ruling elite, but that don't make sense. I mean, the way Stahl phrased it was, you know, with Democrats coming into power with revenge on their mind, what about things like impeachment? Well, the point is that impeachment, and, you know, that bullied Pelosi into saying, well, we're not about impeachment and, you know, what a waste of time, and she fell into the trap of, you know, this is a waste of time. Impeachment is not about revenge. If Barbara and I looked at this and all of the issues we raised, not a single one of them is a Democratic issue. They're issues that every American should care about. These are issues about trampling the Constitution and trampling the Bill of Rights, not about Democratic advantage.
Well, and, you know, Dick Cheney just served up another area for a bill of impeachment, because he admitted to a friendly Republican talk show host on the grounds of the White House the other day that he supports waterboarding, he thinks it's a great idea, and he doesn't consider it torture, even though the new bill, which I consider to be one of the worst pieces of legislation we've ever seen in this country, the so-called Military Commissions Act, explicitly says that waterboarding is torture and it is not permissible by American operatives. Somebody forgot to tell Dick.
Yeah, well, Dick is a masochist, I think, or an sadist, rather, who I think is just itching to get his hands on contrary Americans and waterboard the rest of us. I mean, I think this guy is a sicko.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Pelosi is that she has treated impeachment as if it's a matter of, you know, Democratic strategy. And this is really horrible. For her to say that impeachment is a waste of time is just such a sign of ignorance and of lack of patriotic sense. And for her to take a pledge, which, you know, Stahl then went and pushed her further and said, is that a pledge? And, you know, Pelosi was taken aback and then said, well, yes, it's a pledge. And, you know, the thing is that she already took an oath. And the oath she took said that she would defend and uphold the Constitution against foreign and domestic enemies. Well,
mm-hmm.
There is a domestic enemy right now to the Constitution, and it's George Bush. And it doesn't take a lot of effort to point out the ways in which he's a constitutional criminal. I mean, he has been declared a constitutional criminal by a federal judge in the case of the NSA spying. He's been declared a constitutional criminal, in so many words, by the majority of the Supreme Court,
the Hamdan decision,
to be in violation of the U.S. Criminal Code on the treatment of prisoners of war.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right there, there's two, but there's so many more. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, for God's sakes, she talks about wanting to pursue the Democratic agenda and not waste time with impeachment. But the Democratic agenda would have to be passed by Congress and signed into law. And there's George Bush signing statements for 800 laws where he simply invalidates them with a stroke of a pen,
mm-hmm.
Doing something that's not mentioned in the Constitution, and usurping the power of Congress. Well, how is she going to pursue a Democratic agenda if George Bush is allowed to continue doing signing statements?
Well, Dave,
the only way to stop him is with impeachment, Peter.
Dave, I agree with your fundamental point, and I fully agree that Bush and Cheney deserve to be impeached and subjected to a trial in the Senate. Then we get to practical issues. Number one, Karl Rove laid out a little bit of a stink bomb earlier this year, and trying to rally the Republican base, said, look, they want to impeach the president, so don't let Democrats take control. Then, if you look at what would happen if impeachment were successful in removing both Bush and Cheney, the new Speaker of the House, one Nancy Pelosi, would be the next in line for the presidency. And so I think that she reads this as something that would be inferred or perceived as a power grab on her part, and she's trying to damp down those kinds of interpretations. Now, that said, I would like to see the Democrats, and in particular John Conyers, pursue full accountability of this administration for its misdeeds, up to and including impeachment. There's also the practical issue of getting something going early next year, which really wouldn't reach fruition, a trial in the Senate, until early 2008, when we are starting up the presidential campaign and Bush's days are clearly numbered. So respond to those issues.
Oh, sure. The first one is, let's take the last one first, the issue of when it comes to fruition. The reason to impeach Bush is not so much to get rid of him, because Benjamin Franklin said it back when the debates were on about what the wording of the Constitution would be. In discussing the inclusion of an impeachment clause for the president, Benjamin Franklin said the important people were saying, well, what are the likelihood that a president would be removed if you have a two-thirds requirement? And Benjamin Franklin said, removal is not the important thing. Investigation is the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely agree with that.
Okay, and I do too.
An impeachment hearing that impanels a powerful judiciary committee to constitute with a constitutional power to investigate any and every bit of evidence involving high crimes and misdemeanors is the way that you expose the criminality of this regime, mm-hmm. in ways that a prosecutor can't, mm-hmm. and in the way that ordinary committee hearings can't.
Okay, agreed.
Now let me
move you to the other point, because I got to go to a break in a minute, and then we want to take some calls. So what about the perception that Pelosi would be setting herself up to be named president without election?
Well, that's a valid criticism, but first of all, it requires the removal of Cheney from office, because
right.
he's this number two. And assuming that he would go faster than the president because he's indictable and that his crimes would be exposed during the impeachment hearings, that's my assumption, and mm-hmm. he'd have to resign in disgrace. What happened in the Nixon case was they appointed somebody else to replace Agnew, who was mm-hmm. Indicted and taken down,
right.
so that it wasn't the Speaker of the House who became the president. So it's not necessarily true that Pelosi would become president. But even if she were, and even if she wanted to be coy about this because she didn't want to be trumpeting, you know, maneuvering herself into the presidency or seen mm-hmm. as doing that,
right.
She doesn't have to do what she has been doing, which is to behind the scenes put pressure on members of Congress not to submit bills of impeachment. That goes beyond simply being coy and being, you know, trying to maintain the appearance of not trying to become mm-hmm. president.
Understood. Dave, we're going to take a break and return. If you want to talk about Speaker Pelosi, I just said it. She isn't the speaker yet. But what would Speaker Pelosi do, and why has she taken impeachment off the table? You think she's made a wise strategic choice, or do you think that this is a fundamental error on her part? My lines are open for you, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. 888-573-8372. That's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our senator, Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah.
He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teacher's highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
And take a look at traffic. We're going to take a look at a problem in Santa Cruz, Freedom Boulevard at Compton Terrace. We have an injury crash working there. What I can tell you at this point is that it appears the two southbound lanes completely shut down.
Southbound
lanes are open at this point, so paramedics, fire department all on scene. Also want to take a look at northbound 101 before Buena Vista. We have a, looks like a stall vehicle in the left lane. This report brought to you by Robitussin. Robitussin with formulas for coughs, colds, congestion, and flu. No matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Mike O'Shea with traffic on KRXA AM 540.
This traffic report has been paid for by Stephen Brady, hotel union member of Local Unite Here number 483, to encourage all listeners, their families, and friends to join the union boycott of Monterey Bay Travel Lodge until absentee owner Kelso Sue signs a fair contract for his workers. Power to the people.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue our conversation with writer Dave Lindorf. He co-authored the book called The Case for Impeachment with Barbara Olshansky, and he wrote this op-ed piece in the Baltimore Chronicle that we've been talking about, criticizing Nancy Pelosi, the leader of the Democrats in the House, for taking impeachment off the table. And I think he makes a very strong case, particularly citing Ben Franklin, saying that it's not about removal, it's about really investigation and understanding what went on. And that's the pledge I wish she had taken, Dave, which is that the American people deserve to know the truth, and this administration has not dealt honestly. And so we've got to dig in and uncover all of the lies they've told us. And that, almost by default, once you expose those, would lead to the culpable individuals.
Yeah. I mean, I would make the argument that it's not necessary to start off with an impeachment inquiry, although I think it's smarter to go ahead and do it. First of all, you know, I don't think this is about political advantage. I think that the crimes are so severe that, and the threat to a constitutional, to survival of constitutional government and to the Bill of Rights is so severe under this president that we have to impeach him. And you raised the question of, you know, what if we end up impeaching him 6 months before he leaves office? It's still important to impeach him because, first of all, the investigation is the important part. But if we can force him to resign the way Nixon did because of the, you know, the danger of his actually being impeached, that helps to salvage the wreckage of the Constitution. That, you know, just take those signing statements. If he's not impeached for those signing statements, the next president is going to say, well, that's the standard. You know,
yeah.
I do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, Congress ceases to function as a real body. It's vestigial.
Let's take some calls. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Up first, Doug in Mesa. Hello, Doug. You're on the air.
Yeah, how's it going? Yeah, I feel like the reason why she said what she did, see, I'm from Arizona, a very Republican state, and the word San Francisco liberal, you know, is kind of like a big no-no. So her by, like, she acting like she doesn't really want to go for impeachment
mm-hmm.
until the evidence is presented. Once the evidence is presented, she ain't going to have no choice. But she announces it now. Well, I mean, there's a couple races here in Arizona that are going to be real close races where I would really like to see some Democrats pick up seats. And she says, you know, she's going to be play the part of the San Francisco liberal and impeach the president. That's not, you know, those two seats or three seats that we might pick up are going to be gone.
Is that the Minutemen on your radio?
No, it's my work radio. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Doug. What's your comment, Dave?
Well, I understand his thinking, but I think it's wrong because the polls are showing. I mean, Arizona is maybe a special case, but the polls are showing. Newsweek just ran one that's the most recent where they didn't even introduce a conditional. They just said, do you support impeachment? And a majority of people said yes. 51% said they favored impeachment. That's an astonishing figure. And 20% of Republicans. Now, they didn't say it was their priority. Half of those people, or 28%, I think it was, said that it was a priority for them. And 23% said it wasn't their priority issue, but they still thought that he should be impeached. That's 51%. And of Republicans, 20% said he should be impeached.
Well, and you cite in your article that Clinton, over the blue dress and, you know, some oral sex, support among the public for his impeachment never rose higher than 36%.
That's right. And at the height of his, you know, at the depths of his impeachment. And so here we have 51% who say that he should be impeached. I think that Nancy Pelosi and Democrats like her are showing a remarkable lack of leadership, because what they should be saying is this is not about Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
This is about standing up for the Constitution. He has committed these really horrible crimes against the Constitution, and we and all Republicans and Democrats should be standing up to this.
Doug?
And that's the way to prevent
it. Well, I feel like the evidence is going to come out because John Conyers is going to be on the judiciary. And once he releases that evidence, whether she wants to or not, she's going to have to go with it.
All right, Doug, I appreciate your call today. Okay. And just tell me this. I'm a San Francisco liberal. Am I going to be okay in Arizona?
As far as I'm concerned, yeah. But
all right, thanks. Now to Patty in Phoenix. Hi, Patty. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi,
I just have a quick question. I'm wondering if Nancy Pelosi made that statement because of perhaps the cost and diversion, if they were to go to impeachment, that it would really kind of take their eye off the prize, which is getting out of Iraq, bringing the troops home, stopping the financial bloodshed and the bloodshed of people and lives. So, you know, perhaps there's a, you know, a bigger issue than just impeachment there.
I think there's also a practical issue that once you unleash it, it's hard to control, and it's hard to control the spin. And if it's going on during the presidential election year in 2008, it's unpredictable how that could break. Dave?
Yeah, no, I think you're right that there are political ifs and political risks, and And I still would argue that it is not something that should be subject to politics,
mm-hmm.
that we should rise above politics and say that we have to stand up for the Constitution. I think it's an issue of leadership. I think that, you know, Russ Feingold has provided a good example of that leadership, and I think, you know, in calling for censure when he
yeah.
did. I think that Democrats have the power to articulate that case and to present it in such a way that some Republicans, libertarian Republicans, are going to buy into it and say, you know, mm-hmm. we do have to defend the Bill of Rights, and
Patty,
we do have to defend tripartite government.
Patty, thanks for your call today. I want to squeeze in one more. It's Ray in Mesa. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I have some quick exceptions to what our guest is saying, and that is, number one, I'm all in favor of impeachment, and that decision will be made by the Democratic Party as a whole, not by Nancy Pelosi. However, I really don't think we should be taking up this much time talking about this issue. At this point, we ought to be talking about how to win that Congress. And, you know, when you say that the Democrats are showing a remarkable lack of leadership, that just plays into the hands of the people who are saying, well, Democrats are no different than the Republicans.
Well, Ray, I'm sorry. I'm not an extension or a megaphone for the Democratic Party. And so you're going to hear issues here, whether it's convenient to the election or not. And that's how I do business. And you're welcome to listen or, you know, listen to something else. Thanks a lot for your call today.
I will listen.
Okay.
Well, as far as that goes, you know, the Republicans have shown worse than a lack of leadership. They've turned the Congress into a complete and utter joke.
Dave, I'm out of time. Thanks for your time today, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay,
Dave Lindorf.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Winning the War of Words. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. When the Supreme Court ruled that the policy on enemy combatants was illegal, the U.S. military explained that these people were, in fact, imperative security detainees, which differs from an enemy combatant in that it takes significantly longer to say. But it's worked. Since then, we haven't had to face any more enemy combatants. In the same way, we've learned that stay the course didn't mean what we thought.
Stay the course means keep doing what you're doing. My attitude is don't do what you're doing if it's not working. Change.
Stay the course actually meant don't stay the course. On the matter of setting timetables in Iraq, we remain resolutely opposed to timetables.
The step is to say to the Maliki government, which we're doing, let us work in concert to develop a series of benchmarks to achieve different objectives.
Benchmarks are objectives without times attached.
From what we can see right now, it makes sense that at this time next year or a little bit later, that for the most part, the Iraqi security forces can be in the lead.
Except that sometimes generals will attach a time, but at a different press conference so as to fool the enemy. On the question of casualties, which is what's driving this whole debate, they too may not be what they seem.
The Iraqi security forces are in the fight. And in Ramadan alone, they have lost over 300 martyrs.
Martyrs. It's about time someone pointed out that it isn't just the terrorists with a shot at the virgins. As for the ultimate question, will we win this?
First you have to define what is winning.
Just so. Now this.
When you build your business in Michigan, you really do get the upper hand, like United Solar did. When they needed to expand in order to produce solar cells, it also worked as roofing shingles. The Michigan Economic Development Corporation was there to help. They found the resources, incentives, and partnerships to make Unisolar's new facility a reality. And they could do the same for you. Find out how at Michigan.org. Wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
For whatever legal advice you need,
go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. 33 minutes past the hour. And over the last few weeks, we've been enjoying the field reports from the brothers Slutsky. Matthew and Peter Slutsky are on the road in the One Minivan, One America Tour. And they're slick guys with computers in Mom's minivan. And they produce great audio stuff like this introduction for today's package.
From Studio 3B, located on a dinghy in the third of Minnesota's 10,000 lakes, this is Doublespeak. We hope you brought a sack lunch today because we're taking you to two important battleground states, Minnesota and Iowa. Minnesota, known for its fiercely independent voters and strong progressive leaders, has competitive races up and down the ballot from governor to dog catcher. Today you'll meet a great progressive candidate for the U.S. House, Keith Ellison. And then we drive south to the Hawkeye State, where Democrats are praying hard that Iowa will be their field of dreams in 2006. Bruce Braley from Iowa's 1st District rounds out today's show. So set a timetable, move to a coat, and embrace your inner vegan, because I'm Peter Slutsky.
And I'm his brother Matthew, and this is Doublespeak.
I prefer benchmarks. I can't set a timeline. I prefer benchmarks. Gentlemen, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show today. First, say hello, Peter Slutsky.
How are you, Peter?
I'm doing well. And Matthew?
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing great. And what is your current 20? That's CB talk for where is you at?
We are in the great state of Montana today. We just got out from an interview with the next senator from Montana, John Tester, and we're headed due west into Helena tonight, where we will overnight and do some more interviews tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And, Peter, can you tell us about John Tester's flat top? Could you actually park a car on that thing?
You could land an airplane on that thing. It's huge. To tell you the truth, I'm a little jealous. I'm looking around for a barber tonight.
And does he use goop or gel, or is that just all natural?
I think it's all natural,
yeah.
What it looks like to me.
Uh-huh. Great. And, Matthew, have you had any ups and downs, flat tires, chicks who left you in the middle of the night? How's it all going?
Well, I guess all of the above. We've had some technical issues. We had to take her in for an oil change, and the check engine light's been on, and my dad's been saying, you got to check it. So back in Iowa, we took her in for a little tender, loving care, and she's doing good now, this minivan. So.
Okay. And, Peter, any interesting folks, anybody who bought you 10 drinks in one night, give us a little color.
Well, you're trying to get scandalous on us, Peter, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I'm not expecting you to admit that you got an email from Mark Foley from rehab in Scottsdale.
Too bad, yeah, our broadband in the car is down, so my instant messenger is off, too. Oh, man, we've been meeting some incredible people out on the road. Especially the volunteers that are in these campaign offices across America, they are so excited. And, you know, you go, whether we're at an interview at 6 a.m. or at 11 o'clock at night, there's always someone at the front desk. There's always people sorting, and they have great stories to tell about why they're there. So that's probably been the highlight.
Yeah. Now, Matthew, let's set the stage for this first clip that we have from the road today. It's Keith Ellison, who is running in the 5th Congressional District in Minnesota. And when he won the primary, he got quite a bit of national press coverage because he would become the first Muslim American elected to the House of Representatives.
That's right. He is an exciting candidate. As you said, the first Muslim American to be elected. But even more importantly than that, and, you know, he's gotten a lot of attention because of that, but he is a guy who says what he means, says what he believes, and he's a true progressive. And, you know, I tend to think that if he's elected, and it looks like he will be on November 7th, he's going to be a strong progressive voice for years to come in the House.
All right, let's listen to the doublespeak interview with Keith Ellison.
The issue is extremely personal for many Americans, and with polls showing the vast majority of the American public supporting stem cell research, it's even more preposterous that Bush and the GOP insist on blocking this funding. Out in the heartland, Bruce Braley is working hard to win the hearts and minds of voters who are looking for something
new. We'll get to Bruce in a minute. Sorry.
You talked about social justice and civil rights in your talk tonight. What do you think is the most pressing civil rights or social justice issue facing Americans today, and how will you lead on that issue?
Well, we've got a full plate there, but what's been on my mind is torture. I don't believe that any person in this planet should ever be tortured in the name of America, and I'm deeply troubled when that happens. I think that we need to pass a law that says that the United States does not torture. First of all, it doesn't work. You don't get reliable intel or intelligence based on torture. Second of all, you create enemies. I think the best way to fight terrorism is to win more friends, win the hearts and minds, and to isolate the terrorists. That's the way we're going to win this thing, not by harming somebody so deeply in their soul that they are the walking dead and that they're willing to do anything just to get back at the people they perceive to have harmed them. So I think that's got to be a chief civil rights issue.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that comment, gentlemen, because I am outraged, and I don't think there's enough outrage afoot in the land, particularly among Democrats and progressives, about just how awful the Military Commissions Act is. And yep. Peter Slutsky, today we got the news that on a conservative radio show originating from the White House, they're bringing all the right-wing talk show hosts there for the pre-election sweet talking. Dick Cheney proudly admitted that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others have been waterboarded, and he says we don't torture. Now, this new law, there were, you know, very clear negotiations with the White House, and we were told that Cheney was intimately involved with Warner and Graham and McCain as they explicitly negotiated the elimination of waterboarding as an American interrogation practice.
Yeah, I mean, Dick Cheney, first of all, if Dick Cheney's sitting in on any negotiations, I don't want to buy it. And secondly, you know, this is an incredibly important issue, and America needs to stand tall and say we do not torture. And it's something, just like Keith said, that Americans need to be outraged about, and right now they're not.
Yeah. And Matthew, what else did you pick up from talking with Keith Ellison that makes you think that he'd be a strong progressive in the House?
Well, the interesting thing is we met him at a town hall meeting, and we've been to a whole lot of town hall meetings so far on our trip. And, you know, it's usually someone, a candidate, standing at the front of the room and kind of talking to the constituents and the voters and the people in the room. Keith's town hall meeting was really a town hall meeting. So he was soliciting, it was about environmental justice, and he was asking the voters in the room for their thoughts and their opinions and what they believe we should be doing on the environment. And that says a lot about his character, I think, and it says a lot about the kind of leadership that he'll provide, you know, and in terms of bringing people into the decision-making process. So I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And, Peter, how did you size up the level of energy for Ellison? Do you think that he's got the momentum?
Oh, yeah. His district is a Democratic district. So once he got to the primary, it's pretty much assumed that he will be elected in November. But, you know, as my brother was saying, and I'll piggyback off of it, when we were at this town hall meeting, he was, you know, having a real conversation with these voters, and he even at some points asked you know, what would you do if you were in my position? So he's, you know, trying to, and actually writing it down. So he's actually formulating policy by talking to the people he's going to represent. I think that's great. I'm really excited about him, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, where is the Farmer Labor Party in the mix in Minnesota politics? Because I know about them in a vague way from the past, but it's kind of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, and it runs a separate primary, if I'm not mistaken. Is that true, Peter Slutsky? Is the Farmer Labor Party still active and still kind of a separate entity from the Democrats?
They do. I believe that they operate as the Democratic Party. That was my impression, but you could be right about that. I don't know. But, you know, it's a really interesting dynamic to see the politics up there, and everyone still to this day talks about Paul Wellstone and his legacy, and that's kind of what the FDL party is really gearing towards.
Right. And Matthew Slutsky, do people talk much about Al Franken and his intention to run for the Senate in Minnesota?
I think people are really excited. You know, Minnesota has a history of electing progressive candidates, but also, you know, they elected Jesse the Body Ventura, so...
Let's be sure to hold that against them.
Yeah. They haven't done everything right, but it certainly shows a voting pattern of electing some interesting people. And I think, you know, Al Franken's a funny guy. Al Franken's a great progressive voice, but he's also an extremely smart guy and a thoughtful guy. So I think Minnesota voters would give him a shot. I sure would.
Mm-hmm. But did you get a sense that people are active for him now, or because he hasn't officially announced, he's kind of in a development mode. So I'm wondering if there is freestanding support for him, or if it's going to have to be nurtured. Peter?
We didn't see any signs up for him or anything yet, but he is talking about it, and people are talking about it. And he even moved back. He moved his show back west to Minneapolis, to the Minneapolis St. Paul area. So, you know, that could be an indication that he's looking to run. And you know, if he does run, he would be a great senator, and he would take out another, you know, wacko Republican, Norm Coleman. So, I'd love to see it happen.
Well, and I think more people would watch C-SPAN if Al was on, because they would expect something funny might happen. We're talking with the brothers Slutsky, Peter and Matthew. They are on the road in Montana and reporting in on their recent stops in Minnesota. Next up, we're going to go to Iowa, and I'll get the clips in the right order, and we will meet Bruce Braley, who is a candidate for Congress in Iowa. If you have a question or comment for the Slutsky brothers, you can call us right now. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. 15 minutes before the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Ronnie Bramer, owner of New Horizon Real Estate Group in St. Petersburg, Florida, returns to talk about some great investment opportunities in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. Call him at 727-827-0154 for more info. And don't forget, this is the last weekend for our Rock and Relax giveaway, where someone will be going to see the Rolling Stones at the Oakland Coliseum November 5th and a weekend for two at the Seascape Resort on Monterey Bay. That's this Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Roller Real Estate.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
and take a look at traffic on this good-looking afternoon. We're going to tell you about a problem in, looks like northbound 101 just after Buena Vista. It is a stalled vehicle in the right next to the left lane. It's actually in the center divide, but they say it's very close to the far left lane. Also, watch out for a person there as well. So be advised about this particular situation. Also want to mention southbound 1 just before Marmonte Avenue. We have a bus. Looks like it's actually they're saying it's a yellow school bus, and it is blocking the second lane from the left. They're not saying if any students are on aboard at this point, but it appears they are calling out for the fire department as well, because it also saying that there could be some smoke coming out of the engine, so certainly fire department racing to the scene there. Southbound 17 from 85 to Lexington Reservoir, a little bit slow there, and looking pretty good on Highway 17 at this point. This report brought to you by River Rock Casino. Mike O'Shea at KRXA.
This traffic report has been paid for by Stephen Brady, hotel union member of Local Unite Here number 483. To encourage all listeners, their families, and friends to join the union boycott of Monterey Bay Travel Lodge until absentee owner Kelso Sue signs a fair contract for his workers. Power to the people.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. It's our weekly report from Peter and Matthew Slutsky on the One Minivan One Nation Tour, and you need to visit their website. That's where they post their reports on an almost daily basis. It's doublespeakshow.com, www.doublespeakshow.com. And as we mentioned, Peter and Matthew Slutsky are in Montana today, so we can look forward to hearing a report on John Tester and the debate that they witnessed maybe next week. And, guys, what are your travel plans from here? Peter, you take that one.
Sure. We're going to be in Montana through the weekend. We're going to be interviewing, as we said, Tester and then the governor, Brian Schweitzer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're heading down to Denver, Colorado, through Topeka, Kansas, and then back. We will be in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, on Election Day.
Wow, that's a lot of miles in a short period of time.
Very ambitious.
Yeah. And, Matthew, what's the highest price you've paid for gas so far?
I'd say back in the beginning of the trip, we paid around $2.40, and then things got really cheap in the Midwest or in the battleground states. And now that we're back out in Wyoming and Montana, the price has gone up again. So we just paid, I think, $2.38 or so.
Okay. And did it lull you into complacency to make you think, oh, maybe those Republicans aren't so bad after all?
Yeah, oh, no. I'm for freedom, you know. And freedom's on the march, so why not, you know?
Yeah.
No, not at all, Peter.
All right, next, let's meet Bruce Braley. He's a candidate for Congress in Iowa's 1st Congressional District. Matthew, what city is that?
That is Davenport, Iowa. It's the eastern sort of edge of Iowa. Davenport, Waterloo. It's a bunch of the Quad Cities area.
The Quad Cities. Yeah, that includes Moline, Illinois, right?
Exactly. And it's a seat that's been held by Jim Nussel, a Republican, a right-wing Republican for many years, and now he's running for governor, probably going to lose, and Bruce Braley's looking to fill the slot.
So it's an open seat, Peter. That makes it easier for a challenger.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We actually talked to Bruce about that because, you know, it's tough to tie your opponent to the president and to the GOP when your opponent is doesn't have a political history. But, you know, he's doing a good job of reminding the voters that he really is a true right-winger. So
all right.
I think they'll get the idea.
Let's listen to the clip here with Bruce Braley.
This issue is extremely personal for many Americans, and with polls showing the vast majority of the American public supporting stem cell research, it's even more preposterous that Bush and the GOP insist on blocking this funding. Out in the heartland, Bruce Braley is working hard to win the hearts and minds of voters who are looking for something new.
Our first question to Bruce was about why stem cell research is so important to him.
My nephew Christopher Kolb lives in Dubuque, which is in the district, and has been suffering from juvenile diabetes, and some of the greatest advancements that have been made in stem cell research have allowed things like artificial insulin to be created from DNA research so that it allows patients to have life. But the other great thing about embryonic stem cell research is not only offering hope and offering life, but improving the quality of life for so many people. And my friend Kathy Reinsdorf was with us today, who battles Parkinson's, and she's had two surgeries where she's had electronic stimulators placed in her brain to help her gain greater function. But that's just a temporary fix, and it doesn't work for everyone, and she's found that out. And one of the things that embryonic stem cell research offers to Parkinson's sufferers is the opportunity for a cure, not just a temporary fix. And you just go right down the line. Almost every person I know has had some exposure in their family to someone who suffers from dementia or Alzheimer's. So the scope of the opportunity then and hope that this bill would provide is enormous. And the fact that one person signing his first veto ever has blocked hope and opportunity and life is something that I am personally very offended by, and I want to go out and serve in Congress to make sure that this bill keeps going back until it gets signed or somebody else comes in and signs it.
Well, I sure like what I hear there from Bruce Braley. He's a Democratic challenger there in the 1st District in Iowa. And Peter Slutsky, tell me what your sense is of the landscape there. Is stem cell research controversial because the right wing and the evangelicals have falsely linked it to abortion, essentially, you know, that it's taking a life to use an embryo in this manner?
No, I don't, actually. I believe from what we saw in the district and what we're seeing all around is the issue of stem cell research, is, and especially embryonic, which is the real debate, is tipping very much in favor of Democrats. A poll that came out showed 79% of Americans support it. And I think it's becoming a political, continuing to be a political issue because the Republicans want to slice and dice it and make it an issue like abortion. But for the most part, Americans want this issue out of politics and into research labs because they know it can unlock the key to many of their illnesses.
Mm-hmm. And Peter Slutsky, you're probably aware that Michael J. Fox starred in a TV commercial for Claire McCaskill in Missouri. And I guess it's playing in two or three other states, or at least something like it. And Rush Limbaugh took the opportunity to slam Michael J. Fox and suggest that he was acting as his body twitched from Parkinson's while he videotaped the commercial.
Yeah, it's absolutely sick. We won't go into Rush Limbaugh, but if your listeners go onto our website on doublespeakshow.com and listen to this episode, the first part of the episode we spend talking about that ad and talking about Rush Limbaugh's response. But yeah, it's just really, that's sick. And the ad was very effective, and the ad is absolutely correct. Michael J. Fox does have Parkinson's. He does have tremors from the disease. And, you know, this is something that could help him. And the fact that Rush Limbaugh would come out and say that just shows how insensitive and almost inhuman he is.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. And Keith Olbermann, who continues to amaze me, he got the footage, I guess, off of Rush's webcam. And this is kind of the Rush Limbaugh macaca moment, because they played the footage a few times last night on the Countdown show on MSNBC, and it showed Limbaugh getting a big kick out of himself as he mugged for the camera and tried to mimic, you know, the awful twitches that are involuntary in Michael J. Fox. And here was Limbaugh voluntarily trying to copy that. And it just, you know, he knew he was on his own webcam. That's not a secret. And he put the footage out on his website. So it just shows that these people have no shame, and they're proud of moments when they exhibit this really base behavior. Matthew?
Absolutely. And you know, Rush Limbaugh is a winger and does, you know, is just a crazy guy. But we just saw a poll of folks who actually saw the Michael J. Fox ad, and it showed that Republicans who are hard Republican voters when they saw it, their support went down 10%. And independents who were voting for Democrats, their support went up 10%, mm-hmm. up 10%. So this ad, you know, is effective politically, but also it shows a real person. And, you know, it's Alex P. Keaton. He's a Republican. How can Rush go negative on him?
Right. Peter, do you have a comment?
Yeah. I mean, I just think that, as I said before, this issue shouldn't be a political issue. And when we sat in on this forum with Bruce Braley, and there were many people there that were talking, who were sharing, giving testimonials of their experiences being treated with this technology, with stem cell research. And it really is, it just, you know, it's one of those common sense issues that if we can save the lives of millions of people in this country and improve the quality of life, why are we letting a right-wing political agenda hold us back?
Yeah.
And that is exactly what we're fighting for, you know, in 12 days from today, which is change. And I cannot wait to see this funding go through within the first 100 hours of the new Congress.
Well, I also think Matthew a second ago mentioned the independent voters. And what's fascinating is not just with stem cell issues, but in general, independents are tilting 2-1 for Democrats in the House race that is, as you pointed out, just 12 days away. And I think that does bode well. When you look at the broader numbers, how people want a Democratic or Republican House, it often doesn't get reflected in their vote for their own district member. But when they, you know, when independents step in and understand the issues of a race and weigh in on one side or the other, that's very difficult to counter. And that's where I see the real hope in this midterm election for the Democrats.
Well, they say all politics are local, and the candidates that we've seen and the candidates that we've met are just truly, most of them, truly phenomenal, and young and energetic and something new for both the party, for Washington, D.C., and I'm just, you know, I'm sitting here looking at a sunset in Montana and thinking, God, this country is so great, and it's going to be even greater in just a couple days from now.
Peter and Matthew.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
This week, all autos are on special at More Imports, which features luxury European cars for less than $20,000. This includes Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Lexus. Remember, More Imports, luxury cars for less than $20,000, just in time for the holidays.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com, that's M-O-H-R, or call us at 373-3131, that's 373-3131.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's the worst firefighting disaster in this country in more than 5 years. Four firefighters died today near Palm Springs as they tried to keep the flames from a fast-moving wildfire away from a home. John Hawkins of the California Forestry Department.
These firefighters took the risk that every firefighter faces, and that risk is to try to save life and property. Their first goal was to get humans out. And their second goal was to try to save the house.
It was arson, Hawkins says, and that constitutes murder. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All of our thoughts and prayers are with the families and friends of those firefighters that were killed in this fire.
The windblown flames have scorched at least 10,000 acres. Paul McAndrews and his family had to leave in a hurry.
We know we lost some animals, my neighbor's animals. I didn't know whether to let them loose or, you know, what, so... Hopefully they made it.
Some 400 residents of a trailer park are stranded as firefighters struggle to keep the flames at bay. In Reno, a former firefighter for the Federal Bureau of Land Management has been sentenced for setting three Nevada wildfires last year. 34-year-old Mark Morgan gets 6 months house arrest and has to pay nearly $28,000 in restitution. He says he's very embarrassed. It's the Ramadan factor. The killings of five more American troops bring the U.S. military death toll in Iraq to 96 this month, the highest number since last October. The Bush administration rejects any suggestion that it's giving the Iraqi government an ultimatum.
2 days after U.S. officials announced that Iraqi leaders would develop a timeline for quelling violence, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld played down the process, saying there will be no set deadlines and no punishments.
You're looking for some sort of a guillotine to come flowing down if some date isn't met. That is not what this is about.
And he testily rejected a reporter's charge that Iraqi security forces continually fail to hold up their end.
That is false. Every time a security benchmark has been laid down, the Iraqis have failed to meet it. Wrong.
He does say the U.S. plans to increase the budgets and capabilities of security forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, hoping they'll become more effective more quickly. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
President Bush today signed the bill to put up 700 miles of fence along the Mexican border.
We have a responsibility to enforce our laws. We have a responsibility to secure our borders.
Mexican President Vicente Fox calls the fence shameful and likens it to the Berlin Wall. It's that time of year again. While leaves are falling across much of the country, snow fell today in Colorado. Up to 20 inches of wind-blown snow that closed roads and knocked out power to thousands. The National Weather Service says it was Colorado's worst October blizzard in years. At one point, the snow came down at the rate of 3 inches an hour. On Wall Street, stocks rose again. The Dow up 28 points to 12,163. This is CBS News.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
Peace of mind. We all want it, but where do you find it? And when you do find it, how long does it last? At New York Life, peace of mind starts with a promise and lasts a lifetime. The promise to pay a claim when you need it, even if that day is 30 or 40 years from now. It's why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. In the end, peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
Federal investigators may be as close as they're going to get to pinpointing the source of the tainted spinach. CBS News correspondent John Harchie has an update.
204 people got sick from the E. coli contaminated spinach. Three died. Health officials say there hasn't been an illness in a month. This outbreak appears over. Kevin Riley at California's Health Services says the lead suspect is a farm in Central California. Contaminated feces were found in a grazing area near a crop field. Maybe livestock or wild pigs wandered onto the crops.
Lots of evidence on site as the investigation has continued for the fencing to have been broken down.
Health officials say they're stressing good agricultural practices to prevent crop contamination in the future. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Authorities in Coralville, Iowa say Adrian Hilton hid his marijuana stash in a bank deposit bag at the pizza place where he works. You know the rest. The deposit was made and bank employees called police the next day. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Walgreens has big news. They've teamed up with AARP with great new programs and offers for everyone 50 and over. To celebrate, AARP members who buy $10 worth of Walgreens brand items get a $10 gift card free. Not a member, but you love all that AARP has to offer? Walgreens has something for you, too. A free one-year membership, including their magazine, great benefits and programs. Offers end soon, but the benefits are just beginning. See Walgreens for details. Restrictions may apply.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. This is our third and final hour of the day, and we call it the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome at 1-888-5-PETER-B.
You say to me,
unbelievable.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, with 12 days left to our critical midterm elections, the Republicans are deeply desperate, and they're saying things that are unbelievable. They're unbelievable. I have three candidates here for the most unbelievable remarks of the last couple of days. And as you call the program this hour, I ask you to identify the most unbelievable character in this administration. Is it George W. Bush? Is it Dick Cheney? Or is it Don Rumsfeld? First up, let's listen to this clip from Keith Olbermann, Countdown, yesterday. Because the White House has maintained that this flap over stay the course and the retirement of that phrase is an insignificant issue. By the way, the president only used the phrase 8 times that we can find. That's the claim right out of the mouth of Tony Snow. Well, we learned earlier today from Fan Shakir at the Center for American Progress that it was their research that prompted Keith Olbermann to put this piece together. And what I'm going to do is attempt to identify the date of each clip. It's on the screen in graphics. But each time you hear George W. Bush say, stay the course, I will try to jump in there with the date so that you understand that these are individual clips. And Center for American Progress and MSNBC counted at least 29 or 30 times that Bush himself has used the phrase, stay the course. Now, this almost gets comical as it gets going, and if it weren't so tragic, we could laugh about it. So here is Keith Olbermann's report, and you can try to count for yourself the number of times the president has used the phrase, stay the course.
Now in our fourth story in the countdown, that message miscommunication is happening in reverse. On Monday, the White House fired the underproducing catchphrase, stay the course. And apparently nobody told the Secretary of Defense.
A lot of debate has now emerged over the phrase,
this is Sean Hannity,
stay the course, and what that actually means.
With
well,
Rumsfeld.
The president is backing away from staying the course.
No,
he's not backing
sure.
away from staying the course.
Of course not. You know, I suppose the concern was that it gave opponents a chance to say, well, he's not willing to make adjustments. And, of course, just the opposite is true.
The problem arises when you can't make adjustments even about the language of making adjustments. The White House press secretary is now revising his revisionist history on that phrase and still coming up short, first saying that the president never said stay the course, then yesterday saying this to Fox News.
So is it true the president has abandoned the line we're staying the course and the new explanation of Iraq is there is a timeline in place?
You know, this is a great story, John, because the president, we went back and looked today, and we could only find 8 times where he'd ever used the term, the phrase, stay the course.
Well, sure, to be fair, the president did say stay the course 8 times.
This country will stay the course.
My message is that
September 23rd, 04.
Stay the course. And that's why
April 16th, 04.
In Iraq.
If we don't lose our nerve.
March 24th, 06.
If we stay the course. We'd have the nerve to stay
June 19th, 06.
And we will stay
October
the course.
October 27, 03.
We must.
August 13, 04.
Stay the course. And I told him.
July 14th, 04.
Stay the course.
So there they are, the 8 and the only 8 times President George W. Bush ever said the phrase, stay the course. The only time...
We'll stay the course in Iraq. And it's very important for us to
April
stay the course.
April 04,
we'll stay the course.
It's
America
gone really fast.
We will stay the course. 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 We're just going to stay the course. We will stay the course.
December 03.
We will stay the course.
November 03.
Manterremo questa strada.
We're there to stay the course. We will stay
June
the course.
June 04.
Stay the course. Stay 05, the course.
05,
stay the course.
05.
Stay the course. We will stay the course. And yet we must stay the course. And we will stay the course in Iraq. And that's what we're doing. And we'll stay the course. As a matter of fact, we will win in Iraq so long as we stay the course.
headline for Mr. Snow.
So there were 29 in total, and they went by in a hurry. I tried to identify the date for each one, but they were edited too close together. You get the point. And I ask you, what the hell did he ever mean by stay the course anyway? I guess he felt that if he just repeated it over and over again, people would come to understand what it meant. But that didn't work, and so now the phrase has been retired. So, my question to you is George W. Bush the most unbelievable one of this trio? Now we listen to the Secretary of Defense, and this is a news conference at the Pentagon.
Now, you're looking for some sort of a guillotine to come flowing down if some date isn't met. That is not what this is about. This is complicated stuff. It's difficult. We're looking out in the future. No one can predict the future with absolute certainty. So you ought to just back off, take a look at it, relax, understand that it's complicated, it's difficult, that honorable people are working on these things together. There isn't any daylight between them. They'll be discussing this and discussing that. They may have a change here, a change there, but it'll get worked out.
Now, this clip that you heard followed a statement from Mr. Rumsfeld that the benchmark plan that Bush announced for Iraq is not complicated. Then he went on to say, well, this is complicated stuff and that those who oppose the war ought to back off. Well, Secretary Rumsfeld, I'm not about to back off. And so you ought to just get over that. Now, I don't have a clip for Dick Cheney, but we discussed this earlier today with Faz Shakir, that the White House has been inviting these right-wing talk show hosts to come in to pitch softball questions to administration officials. And even Karl Rove made an appearance. But Dick Cheney went down to Radio Row, talked to a guy from Fargo, North Dakota, and inside the space of 1 minute, in his attempt to ding Democrats, showed that he really cannot deal with the truth. This has to do with the idea of waterboarding. And as we've discussed, the new Military Commissions Act, which I call the Joe Stalin Detention, Torture, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006, explicitly says that the U.S. will not waterboard. And it includes an amnesty provision to prevent prosecution of those who may have slipped up and done that prior to the adoption of this bill. So a softball question is pitched. I've heard from a lot of listeners, you know, that cut and run, get out of there, all this stuff coming from the left, and terrorist interrogations, and that debate is another example. I've had a lot of people call and say, please, let the vice president know that if it takes dunking a terrorist in water, we're all for it if it saves American lives. Again, this debate seems a little silly given the threat we face. Would you agree, the vice president? I do agree. And I think the terrorist threat, for example, with respect to our ability to interrogate people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, that's been a very important tool that we've had to be able to secure the nation. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed provided us with enormously valuable information about how many there are, about how they plan, about what their training processes are, and so forth. We've learned a lot. We need to be able to continue that. Now, here's where he tweaks the Democrats. The Congress recently voted on this question of military commissions and our authority to continue the interrogation program. It passed both houses, fortunately. The president signed it into law, but the fact is 177 Democrats in the House, or excuse me, 162 Democrats in the House voted against it. And 32 out of 44 senators, Democratic senators, voted against it. We wouldn't have that authority today if they were in charge. That's a very important issue in the campaign. Now consider this. It's unbelievable. On the one hand, he cites this act of Congress, which he claims gives them the authority to conduct waterboarding. Yet the bill, which he personally negotiated with Senators Warner, McCain, and Graham, explicitly says that the United States will not use waterboarding. The follow-up softball for the VP? Would you agree a dunk in water is a no-brainer if it can save lives? Oh, it's a no-brainer for me, but for a while there I was criticized as being the vice president for torture. We don't torture, Cheney says. That's not what we're involved in. We live up to our obligations in international treaties that we're a party to and so forth. But the fact is you can have a fairly robust interrogation program without torture. He's all over the place. He's contradicting himself. He's soiling his own pants. So, my question to you is, who mo unbelievable? Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld. All my lines are open. It's the Free Speech Zone. No guests the rest of this hour. I'd like to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Toll free, 1-888-5-PETER-B. Call me now and we'll talk about it here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Tell people why I say this. I mean, is it? I raise a little hell, raise a little
hell, raise a little hell. Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
And good afternoon, or good evening, I should say. Let's take a look at traffic. Looks like a couple of problems. What's southbound 1, just to south. That would be after Marmonte. We have a problem with a school bus. It was stalled, possibly. They're also saying that the engine caught on fire as well. Some smoke coming up. And they do say it's blocking the second lane from the right. CHP says this is still the case. They are on the scene. They're also fire department on the scene as a precautionary measure. And no indication of any students on board. We'll certainly give you apprised of the situation as soon as we get more information. Also, Monterey Seymour Street at Preston, giving word of a crash there. This is a two-vehicle crash. Everything now off to the right shoulder. This report brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today on approved credit. Make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest until 2008. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices every day.
This traffic report has been paid for by Stephen Brady, hotel union member of Local Unite Here number 483, to encourage all listeners, their families, and friends to join the union boycott of Monterey Bay Travel Lodge until absentee owner Kelso Sue signs a fair contract for his workers. Power to the people.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the Free Speech Zone, and your calls and comments are welcome. Do you know the rules? Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice.
Smiling faces,
going to stay the course.
Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Can you be it?
Smiling.
My lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 if you like it all numerically. And you can talk about anything you want, but the question I posed in my setup is, who's more unbelievable? Bush, when he says that Stay the Course is now inoperative and he never said it much anyway. Cheney, when he says Congress has now authorized waterboarding, when that's flatly untrue. Or Rumsfeld, when he says we ought to back off when we criticize this administration for the mess and the carnage that they've created. I'm sorry. They're all unbelievable in my book, and maybe I've given you a hopeless task. Let's see. To the phone calls we go. On line one from Arizona, it's, let's see, I have to read my clock here. Jerry in Phoenix. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Peter. Love your show.
Well, thank you.
And please, don't back off. Keep the pressure on those.
I certainly will.
And in regards to your question, let me make a statement here first.
All right.
On seating the number one blowhard in Congress, J.D. Hayworth.
Oh, yeah, he's a great American.
Oh, my God. And I think we're also pretty close to unseating John Kyle. That's Bush's number one cheerleader.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the race is getting tighter and tighter.
Well, I am excited to hear that because we need another couple of Senate seats in play. I'm not convinced that Ford will win in Tennessee. To me, it's a toss-up in Missouri. I hope that talent goes down. And also, Jim Webb is for the first time trending within the margin of error, 2 points up of George Allen in Virginia. But those are very close, just 12 days out, and I'd love to see another couple come into play.
Yeah, that Peterson is steadily gaining on Kyle. I think it's only 6 percentage points now.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. Now, I was having a conversation with my 16-year-old son just last night, and one of the things that we came up with was we think that Rumsfeld and Cheney just cringe every time a microphone is stuck in Bush's face, and they haven't had a chance to prep him for, if Bush gets asked a question that he can't.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Art.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA.
And others have pointed out in analytical articles today, he's pissing on his own message, okay?
Oh, amen.
Rove and the gang said that all Republicans should run on the war in Iraq and the war on terror. And Bush had to come out for that news conference yesterday to kind of modify the plan because it's obvious that Republicans can't run on what they thought would be their signature issue.
Right.
So the real modification is not in anything that has anything to do with Iraq. It is domestic political considerations and the language they're using. That's about all that I see that's changing right now.
Right, right. I truly think that Cheney is the one who pulls all the strings. I mean, that really, Rumsfeld wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Cheney. I think he's the biggest liar and the biggest crook of them all. And I would love to see the impeachment of Bush just so that Cheney would have to resign in disgrace.
All right, Jerry, thanks a lot for your call. Now to Chris in Phoenix. Hello, Chris. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for doing the show. You do great work, and it's appreciated.
Well, the only alternative is psychotherapy, so I appreciate this myself.
I agree with you. In answer to the question, that's a really tough one. I'm going to have to go with Rumsfeld, though, just because I think what he's saying is about backing off is a direct assault on our constitutional right to free speech. So I'm going to go with that.
All right, I'll take it.
But I know there's a lot of close races across the country, and for the life of me, I just cannot understand how it can be so close with everything that's happened and the economy, the state that it's in, and the war is a disaster. I just can't understand how people can support this administration at all. And so,
well, I'll put it in simple terms. Fear works.
Yeah, I guess it does with a lot of people. But it just amazes me what I hear every day and the direct lies that they tell. And people, you know, a lot of the neocons just don't seem to care about the truth.
Yeah. It was really telling. David Kuo is the guy who's written the book about the White House Office of Faith-Based Initiatives. And he was so honest with me the other day, and it was so refreshing to hear that come from a Republican. I asked him about how, you know, Republicans can get misled into getting all worked up about gay marriage, abortion rights, stem cell research, and then they are trained to overlook the greatest moral, grievances that we have, which are the economic injustice and the injustice of this war in Iraq and all the ancillary issues. And he said, I don't know. He said,
yeah.
I wish I could figure it out.
And I just one more point for you. I absolutely, I know you talked about it yesterday, I know that there's some practical issues surrounding impeachment, but my strong opinion is that they should all be impeached and they should all be indicted. So that's where I'm coming from, and I know a lot of people are starting to get on board with that. And I was a little disappointed that Nancy Pelosi jumped off ship with that, but we'll see when the Democrats take over.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Peter. Great
Appreciate
job.
Your call, Chris. Okay, my pleasure. We'll take more of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. We're going to meet a couple of songwriters, Ellen Buxtell and Nancy Wurzberger, and play their song, which is perfect for the midterm elections 12 days away. The song is called They Lost My Vote. And more of your calls coming up, too, at toll-free 888-5-PETER-B. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, Sheila Gale here. Join me on Reality Radio Saturday afternoons 4 to 5 and hear how local people deal with life on life's terms. You know, the roller coaster ride, up, down, always changing. On Reality Radio, we dive into the real stuff, living day to day, trying to find peace in this crazy world with the most interesting guests. Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, brought to you in part by Italica, with the finest Italian handbags and accessories on Alvarado Street, Monterey, across from Ordway, Italica.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues 33 minutes past the hour. We're knee-deep in the free speech zone. And one of the types of free speech we value on this program are politically themed songs. And now we present the debut of They Lost My Vote, written and performed by Ellen Buxtell and Nancy Wurzberger, who will join us in just a moment.
In November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. They lost my vote. Stand. Doesn't anybody care? Then lost my vote. Now do you know where did my ballot go?
It's out now on the Diebold label.
After the election, I was filled with pride, waiting for my vote to be verified. Looking for the news of my country's fate. The election was over, now there's no more defeat. I surfed the TV all night long, wanted to know what was going on. Get me some honest information. I watched Jon Stewart on the Comedy Station. They lost my vote. It isn't fair.
There it is. It's called They Lost My Vote. The song continues, but we'll fade it here so we can say hello to the singers and songwriters, Ellen Buxtell and Nancy Wurzberger. First up, Ellen, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Peter. How are you?
I'm great, and that song makes me feel even better, although it's about a problem subject that we got to deal with. Nancy, thank you for joining us, too.
Thank you, Peter. I'm so happy to be on the show. I have to correct you, though. Ellen is the performer.
All right.
We wrote it together.
So you're a songwriter, but you don't perform?
Not really.
Once in a while,
a little harmony.
Around the campfire now and then.
Okay. Well, then, Ellen, we'll just focus on you for a moment. You rock.
Thanks, Peter.
Now, you're there in Florida, where modern election theft was developed and perfected.
Yeah, well, we just stay the course down here, you know, on bad elections.
Tell me what inspired you to write this song.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that when you called before, and I remember sitting in front of the TV after the election 2 years ago and just dumbstruck by the way things turned out, and upset that Kerry had conceded so quickly. I just didn't understand. And Nancy and I have been have written a bunch of songs together and some funny stuff. And Nancy was president of the National Organization for Women down here in Broward County and very politically involved. And we just I'm just was so angry, and I'm either writing songs that are making me laugh or making me cry or pissing me off. So
now, Nancy, do you write these songs so that you can sing them to yourself when you get to Gitmo?
I'm hoping to avoid Gitmo. I'll never be seen or heard from again. But, you know, we don't need Gitmo. We live in Florida, and talk about your worst nightmare. Jeb Bush as governor and George Bush as president. It's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, it truly is.
Gives us lots of motivation for political songs.
But you're going to deliver one thing to us unless the machines are really, really working upside down this year, and that is that Catherine Harris is going to return to private life.
Oh, there's no way. They can't fix that election. She's the new comedy act in Florida, actually. We all get quite a laugh from her. I don't know if anybody saw the debates. I guess they don't. That wouldn't be national, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah,
she wants to get rid of income tax, and she's out of her tree.
Well, and she wants to make America safer for Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
Ellen, earlier today we played a piece of your song, Mr. Politician, because we were talking about the New Jersey Supreme Court decision about gay marriage.
Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So report that to your royalty keepers, because that's worth at least 25 cents to have two songs played on my show in one day.
Yeah, I don't expect to get rich off these songs, but we're sure hoping that people will... We'll stand up and take notice, you know.
Now, there is a website where people can hear this music and even buy it if they are so inclined.
They can go to my website, ellenbuckstel.com, ellenbuckstel.
That's right.
And I have a MySpace website, and I've got a video on YouTube as well. So, and all the songs are on all the sites.
Well, Ellen, you're so high-tech. You're either in your 20s or you have a child who does your tech support work for you.
I'm going to be 54 in December.
Oh, well, that explains the song about personal summer.
Personal summer? Oh, menopause.
Yeah, is it hot in here or just me?
Another personal experience song we wrote about. Very funny song.
Well, I want to thank you two ladies for what you do. Thanks for joining us. We're going to keep playing this Lost My Vote song up until the election. And we're going to blame Brad Friedman at bradblog.com.
Well, thank you, Brad, for that.
He's the one who sent it along to us.
And thank you, Peter. Great show.
All right.
Y'all are lucky on the left coast.
Nice to talk to you both. That's Nancy Wurzberger and Ellen Buckstel, and the website ellenbuckstel.com. Back to your calls we go, and let's see who's been holding the longest. I think it's Ian in Iowa. Ian, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, Peter. How's it going?
I'm doing great, and we got some new tunes here, so we're just working overtime.
Yeah, actually, that was pretty good. I enjoyed that quite much. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
I just happened to notice that you had mentioned the Allen Webb race out of Virginia.
Right.
And I watch all the political races pretty closely. I run a blog. I won't mention it because I know plugging your own place isn't cool.
But... Oh, come on.
All right, I'll say it. Pollsmoking.com.
Okay. Never been there. Pole smoking.
P-O-L-L. Make sure. P-O-L-L. But anyway, Drudge Report is reporting some salacious information about Webb, about a book he released in 2001 called Lost Soldiers.
Uh-huh.
And there appears to be a quite graphic display. And if you have just a moment, I'll read this real quickly. I'll just read the last sentence of this paragraph. Supposedly, I haven't had a chance to go to the library and get the book, but... They show a photocopy of the page on Drudge's page.
Well, I'm going to let you read this, but I have it up on my screen as well. And let me just mention here that a little skepticism may be in order. Let's remember what happened to Dan Rather when he tried to report on the facts related to George W. Bush's failures in the National Guard. And they came up with this phony document that Rather and his reporting team used, and then they hung him with it. And as I look at this, that's the first thing that comes to mind, Ian.
Yeah, what I would say, if there's anybody out there that happens to have a copy of this book, if they want to call in and share that with you, supposedly they say it's page 333, and quite frankly, I don't believe it. I'm a diehard liberal, so the thought of this is just, it's really upsetting that they would wait till the last moment and spring this, but... It appears the one sentence that's really disturbing and I'm not even sure if I can read this, but I'm going to try.
It's okay.
You read, this is supposedly what Webb wrote, and I can't believe it, but this is supposedly the transcript. A man grabbed his young son in his arms, turned him upside down, and put the boy's penis in his mouth. And one, I don't even understand that sentence, and two, how could have they, if this, supposedly if this was written five, six years ago, mm-hmm. how come we're just hearing about it now?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it's a novel, all right? So what this represents in terms of...
Thank you, that squares it away. That explains it. I didn't realize that it was an... I thought this was a story on his war or whatever. I thought it was a war book, but it's a novel.
It is a novel. We call that fiction on the left coast.
That.
So, number one, it is a novel. And let's just be neener about this. Dick Cheney's wife has published novels that include some rather sexually explicit descriptions and scenes. And it did come out in the 2000 election campaign a little bit, but no big deal was made over it. Secondly, this is clearly a desperation move by the Allen campaign. The Drudge Report posts this alleged excerpt, okay, and I say alleged because I have not read any of Jim Webb's novels, and so I cannot determine whether this is an accurate excerpt or not. But then the Allen campaign's our press release reads this way: Jim Webb's Weird World. The author's disturbing writing show a continued pattern of demeaning women. Okay? Now, this is a gay male scene. It's pedophilia. The man grabbed his young son in his arms, turned him upside down, and put the boy's penis in his mouth. What does that have to do with demeaning women? They can't even get their talking hit points right.
Yeah, it sounds like the worst desperation. You're actually right. I think you pegged it right on the head. And if I hadn't have been just so confused and just shocked by the whole thing, Webb has been making progress. Bloomberg released a poll yesterday that he was up by 3 points, and that's the first poll that he'd been actually leading in. And it just sounds like a total desperation. And I just hope that the voters of Virginia can see Mr. Macaca for himself and vote the right way and vote with their conscience. That's all I got, Pete. Thanks a lot.
All right, Ian, thank you for your call today. Now, I'm looking at more of this Drudge Report posting, and there are quotes from other books, these other novels that have been written by Jim Webb. And again, I've never read a Webb novel. I don't see, you know, what this has to do with the campaign for the Senate in Virginia, except that George Allen is completely desperate and trying to find a way out of it. In some of these other excerpts, again, I can't determine their accuracy, and I also can't determine the context. But, you know, Jim Webb was a Navy guy and, appears to have a kind of sailor's language and imagination. And, this is the first I've seen it. I'll study it and see if there's anything more to comment on. But frankly, it's just a last-ditch effort to try to bring down a guy who clearly has threatened a sitting senator. Terry in Tempe, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air.
Yeah, were you aware that Michael J. Fox also did a commercial for Arlen Specter?
You mean Arlen Specter?
Or Arlen Specter, excuse me.
I'm not aware of that. I read that Fox had done 3 or 4 of these commercials, but I didn't know one was for Specter.
Yeah, you know, what I find really humorous is these people on the other end of the spectrum saying how disingenuous and hypocritical it is. Don't you find it kind of hypocritical that they didn't say anything when he did a commercial for a Republican, but when he does one for a Democrat?
Well, I'll have to say that I can't, I can't sit in for Rush Limbaugh and imagine what he would be thinking. He, of course, criticizes Arlen Specter for being too liberal, so I'm not sure exactly how Rush Limbaugh would play this in the Specter case.
Well, I would just love to find a way to ask it, but they tend to screen their calls there a lot. They wouldn't let me on today because I wanted to ask him.
Really? So you got through to his Bubba or whoever is Bo?
Right.
Bo Snerdly?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they asked me what I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to ask how come no one put up a fuss when the spot for Arlen Specter was done.
And did they just hang up on you, or did they leave you on hold for a day and a half?
Left me on hold for a day and a half on a cell phone, of course. But, hey, it's not their money.
Right.
Yeah. I just think that's just absolutely amazing, you know. How disingenuous to call someone else a phony when you're sitting there complaining about when he does a spot for the Democrats, but when he does one for the Republicans, no one says a word. It's just remarkable.
Well, and as I said earlier today, for Rush Limbaugh to mock and mimic Michael J. Fox's twitches on his program while his webcam is capturing it, that's his very own macaca moment. And he needs to realize that Media Matters monitors him every day, and that people are watching him. And I think he's going to self-destruct right live on the radio sometime, probably in the not-too-distant future.
You know, I was sitting there listening to him one day with my dad, and are you familiar with a really, really old Andy Griffith movie about that very same thing, Face in the Crowd?
No, I'm not.
There's a movie where Andy Griffith becomes a guy that becomes a figurehead for a political movement, and he just goes, it's kind of like the Elmer Gantry story for politics instead of religion.
All right, Terry, I got to run to a break. Thanks for your call today, and thanks for telling me about that.
Have a good day.
That's how I learn from listeners. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. There's room for your call here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. We are going to mention a problem working, let's go to Felton Highway 9, south of Glengarry. Looks like three trees are down across the roadway, so roadway blocked at this point. You can expect delays. Also got to mention Salinas Abbott Street on-ramp to southbound one. We are working on several boxes in the celery, several boxes of celery is what I'm trying to say, and they are located in the lanes. CHP also reporting a new problem, northbound 1 at 68. It's a white pickup truck with a horse trailer, and it is partially blocking the slow lane at this point. This report brought to you by Advil. Well, you don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works the everyday pain reliever. Mike O'Shea with traffic on KRXA AM 540.
This traffic report has been paid for by Stephen Brady, hotel union member of Local Unite Here number 483. To encourage all listeners, their families, and friends to join the union boycott of Monterey Bay Travel Lodge until absentee owner Kelso Sue signs a fair contract for his workers. Power to the people.
We bring bring you more of the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got a couple of lines open if you'd like to chat with us in the free speech zone. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. 888-573-8372. And Rusty Limbaugh has been not so smooth the last few days as he joins the desperate Republicans trying to salvage their one-party rule in Washington. And this is a brief clip in 92. I was working at KNBR in San Francisco, and I had the dubious honor of following Rush Limbaugh every day. And then Rush came to town for a big promotional event, and I had an opportunity to invite him on my show for an hour. Here's an excerpt of our conversation.
I look at my show as an entertainment forum for people, and I screen calls to find the best call. You know what the main, in my philosophy, you know what the purpose of a good call is on my show? To make me look good. I will tell you flat out, this show is not about what anybody else but me thinks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to discover what America thinks, because it's impossible. There's no talk show host in the world who can tell you what his community or his neighborhood thinks based on what happens on his show. And so I'm not even laboring under that misconception. Calls are there to make me look good, to bring up interesting things. There's no public service aspect. There's no First Amendment aspect that I care about regarding it. And we're not looking for people who agree. In fact, we strive for people who disagree.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
Tell that to Terry in Tempe. Now let's talk to Peter V. in Monterey. Hello, Peter.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins. I'm assuming you named that a little piece Lipstick on a Pig. Peter, if I might, I've noted that...
Peter, just one comment. That would be a waste of lipstick.
Oh. Peter, I've noted that some people have taken exception to you naming the legislation called, you named the Stalin Detention and Torture Bill.
Right.
And I've come up with a title I feel more truly reflects the psychotic nature of that legislation, if I might.
Go ahead.
My title would be the Freddy Krueger Kangaroo Court and Jason Judicial Oversight with the Charlie Manson Military Tribunal. What do you think?
It's a mouthful. I wasn't able to write it all down. So email it to me and maybe I'll be able to spit it out.
I will. Great program, Peter. Again, after I finish hurling in the bucket from listening to Drudge and Limbaugh, I'll get back to listening. Thank you, Peter.
Keep that sawdust handy. It's extra absorbent and gets the odors, too. Rob in New York, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
As I told your screener, I'm uniquely odd, I think, in the way that I look at the politics right now, is I'm a lefty that wants the Democrats to lose.
And tell me why.
Well, because I think that the country is going in a massively wrong direction. I think that there are so many things going wrong that the Democrats go along with. Our energy policy, our foreign affairs, this war on terror. We have to dramatically pull back from, you know, our military and from, you know, the way, you know, with peak oil coming and the dollar very weak and ready to fall, that the Democrats are going to offer a false hope, a false, you know, saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
From the incredibly wrong direction that this country has been heading.
Well, Rob, I hear you. And I can't agree, and here's my reason. I approach this on a triage basis, okay? Our nation, if you use the metaphor of a sick patient, is on life support or, you know, dangerously close to flatlining.
Absolutely.
And so I share your disappointment and often disgust with Democrats who have not shown principle, who have not shown a commitment to the Constitution, and who practice stupid politics and bad rhetoric in a lot of cases.
Right.
But back to my triage point, we have to look at how dangerous it would be to let one-party rule continue for another 2 years. We're going to see a frenzy in the lame duck session, even if the Democrats do win back one or more houses. And so a lot of damage has already been done. I can't countenance any further damage happening intentionally. I do agree that the Democrats need to be pressured and held to move more in a forward, progressive manner. And I'll put it in simple terms. They need to move to the left. We've had enough of this straddling, enough of this copying the Republicans and trying to pose as the number two corporate party. But I am a registered, I'm registered as independent. I'll be voting mostly for Democrats this fall. And I will not expect that should they take control of the House and or the Senate, that miracles will occur instantly. We will have to continue to press these people to honor our values.
But my problem with this is in two ways. Number one, the American people have to be mobilized. They have to agree to, you know, go out into the streets and protest and say, no, this is not what we want for America.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a false left-right paradigm that is created by the government and the media to pit us against the conservatives when most of us all agree on family values and the golden rule and all that stuff.
The other struggle is for economic issues,
exactly.
And they have pitted one American worker against another, while the suits, you know, what is I reading, Barry Diller, you know, is the highest paid executive, and it's obscene what these people are taking home and how they're extracting it from us. Rob, I thank you for the call, and I appreciate your point of view. You're welcome to call again, even if you're a contrarian. I love to hear it. I want to jump to one more call before we go today. It's Dan in Monterey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. Love the show. I'll go through this pretty quick. It's out of the news, the weird. It's about our buddy Rush.
Yeah.
Wheelchair-confined Richard Pay committed almost exactly the same violations of Florida prescription drug laws that radio personality Rush Limbaugh did, with a different result. Limbaugh's sentence in May was addiction treatment, and Pay's in 2004 was 25 years in prison.
Yeah.
Both illegally possessed large quantities of painkiller for personal use, which Pay defiantly argued was and will be necessary to relieve constant pain from unsuccessful spinal surgeries. After an auto accident, which Limbaugh admitted was simply the result of an addiction. In fact, if Limbaugh complies with his plea bargain, his conviction will be erased.
Right. He was.
Sentence will now rest with the state court of appeals.
He was a recreational OxyContin user who got caught, and the gentleman you cited was a bona fide patient who was entitled to those drugs. Thanks for pointing that out.
And in a wheelchair.
Dan, I got to run.
Great show.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are two types of diabetes that affect our children, type 1 and type 2. I'm Nurse Rona. Join us to find out what parents and teachers can do to help children and families face the challenges of diabetes. Healthy eating, exercise, and knowing the signs and symptoms can make a big difference.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Four firefighters died today fighting a wildfire near Palm Springs, California, and State Forestry official John Hawkins calls it murder.
This is an arson fire. This is a deliberately set arson fire.
A $100,000 reward is offered for information. As wind fanned the flames, hundreds of people had to flee their homes. But CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker reports residents of a trailer park are stranded.
The flames have blocked the only road exiting the park. Firefighters are in the park with the 400 residents, but right now they are surrounded and have no way out. The firefighters say that they are confident they'll be able to keep the flames at bay, but as you can imagine, folks, they are mighty anxious and nervous.
At least 10,000 acres have burned, but officials say they can't make any better estimate because of the heavy smoke. Five more American families have gotten the dreaded visit, informing them that their loved ones have been killed in Iraq. That brings the U.S. military death toll to 96 this month, the highest number since last October. In Washington, there's debate over what, if anything, the Iraqi government is expected to do. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that part of the story.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld is playing down the announcement that the U.S. will help Iraq develop benchmarks for progress.
It's a political season, and everyone's trying to make a little mischief out of this.
He portrays the benchmarks as goals, not set deadlines with consequences if they're not met. That won't work, critics claim. Rumsfeld says they ought to just, quote, back off. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Rush Limbaugh has apologized for saying Michael J. Fox faked his symptoms when he made campaign ads supporting embryonic stem cell research. And Fox, in an interview with correspondent Katie Couric for the CBS Evening News, said the irony is that he was too medicated at the time. But Fox said he's more interested in getting his message out.
I could give a damn about Rush Limbaugh's pity or anyone else's pity. I'm not a victim. I'm someone who's in this situation. I think I'm in this situation along with millions of other Americans, whether it's, like I said, for Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or ALS or diabetes or spinal cord injury or what have you. And we have a right, if there's answers out there, to pursue those answers with the full support of our politicians.
Fox insists it's nonpartisan. He supports Republicans as well as Democrats. Home sales are rising again, up more than 5% in September, but it's still